The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here, milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no. It's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in little coat. That guy in little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Provision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make you toast. The best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday, and we are in full Tebow mode here at Gillette Stadium. Tons of media here, probably more than for a normal game. But this is no normal game. This is the Patriots heading to Mile High to take on the Denver Broncos and, of course, the phenomenon that is Tim Tebow. So the guys will be here any moment now. They just came from Bill Belichick's press conference and the locker room, so they'll give you the skinny on what's going on there. I know Bill Belichick was quoted as saying today that Tim Tebow possesses skills that no other quarterback has in the NFL. I would tend to agree. Right from leadership on down, he's a unique guy. And I caught a little bit of Aaron Hernandez, who, of course, used to be his teammate back in Florida, and he said the same thing. He said he's a unique individual. So we'll talk all about that. Still wrapping up from the Washington game. Any remnants, we'll talk about that. One correction I have to make. I was incorrect yesterday when I said that I couldn't understand why the Santana Moss play was pass interference because the ball wasn't in the air. And apparently, for offensive pass interference, it starts at the snap. So the ball does not have to be in the air, which would answer that question and also explain why Mike Shanahan said that he thought it was a good call by the refs. So there's one that will take off the refs' list of bad calls in that game. So just wanted to clear that up right off the top. But Paul's here. He just came back from the locker room, and so I know that he was interviewing Dane Fletcher for the PFW TV show.
Yeah, he was very, very excited to be back.
Really?
Yes. He was very frustrated sitting out all that time. I know the fans get frustrated sometimes with the players when they are not available, but believe me, the players are a lot more frustrated than we could ever be.
And how's he saying his thumb is?
I didn't ask specifics about his health because I know that that's, you know, forbidden around here.
Okay, well, we'll
But he did say his goal was to just be in his the best possible condition that he could be, and he wanted to really hit the ground running. He wanted to be at a level. His goal heading into that game was to be at a level, and he felt like he met it.
Okay.
And yeah, just he's excited about the opportunity here now to go up against your boy, Tebow.
Yep.
And, you know, unconventional as it may be, they're preparing and they're getting ready.
Anybody else talk in the locker room? I mentioned
Aaron Hernandez talked, and he was sort of funny. You know, the obvious connection there is that he was a teammate of Tebow's in college. I know that the linebackers down the end of the hall, while I was talking to Fletcher, I think Ninkovich was talking, and maybe someone else, too. Might have been ahead of Bo based on the general vicinity of that locker room. There was a couple of scrums, but Matt Light had a very brief, a large scrum, but a pretty brief one around him, to which I'm told that he did a lot of joking. So I'm not sure exactly what came out of that. And Brady spoke, but was not asked at all about the sideline altercation with O'Brien.
Well, I think that he said what he's going to say about that. I don't think. But what did Brady say? Do we know anything?
Just talking about the Broncos and Tebow. And he made the comment that from what he was watching, you know, he doesn't see any problems with Tebow's passing and stuff like that. He made that comment earlier in the...
Well, we only get to tune into the end of the game.
Right. So. You know, you missed the 3-for-18 part.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see as the week goes on what the media can come up with that's any different and hasn't already been said about Tebow, because, you know, will it kind of peter out by Friday, or will it increase?
It hasn't every other week.
Will the buzz increase?
Oh, I think it's. I think this is a big game. I think that there is a big game feel to it, don't you?
From a curiosity standpoint, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of. I think it's more than just a curiosity. I think it's a big game for both sides. Obviously, the Broncos are fighting for their playoff lives. Patriots are fighting for a bye. You know, they're more than likely going to be in the playoffs, but they're looking for a bye. And if they lose, they might lose out on an opportunity to get a first-round bye. So I think there's a big-time feel to this game. I still think the Patriots are going to win going away. I haven't changed my mind on that. But I think there's a big-time atmosphere. It's almost a playoff atmosphere to this game to me. A lot of national guys.
The only difference here is, you know, as much as I like Tebow and the Broncos and all that stuff, I don't get the feeling of, ooh, this is a matchup that could tell what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Oh, no.
It's not like that. And that's where...
No, but it could have a big impact on the playoffs.
No, it could, but it's more, to me, it's a curiosity game.
Yeah, but if you lose, Paul's right. It's a
effed
up game.
You may have lost your chance to go to the Super Bowl.
But again, I might be falling into that trap that I always do, but I don't see the Patriots losing this game.
I don't understand how you can completely buy into Tebow and not think they could lose.
If you buy Tebow, you got to think they can lose.
Look, all I've said from the very beginning is when people said he can't play in the NFL, I said, you're wrong.
Well, we'll find out.
Well, he's playing and he's winning in the NFL. We found that out.
He's played 8 games. You know? Let's see after like 5 years what he's doing.
How many stretches have there been for these
guys?
Well,
this is a classic case of the goalpost movie.
I'm going to say it again.
There's a guy on Arizona who's a third-string quarterback out of Fordham named John Skelton who can't complete a pass but is 5-1 as a starter.
Yeah. But this is
and why is he not the next savior? Because they know that he's not doing anything to help the team win.
This is the classic case of the goalpost moving. First, it's he'll never play in the NFL, and now he's playing.
No, that's wrong.
Let's see in 5 years.
No, wait.
It's 5 years from now.
Stop.
You just said it.
But you misrepresented. You said that I didn't think he would make the league. He wouldn't actually make the team.
Play in the NFL.
He was a first round pick, and I didn't think he would ever going to get on the field to play.
That's what
I don't
said.
Think he can play quarterback, Fred, because I don't think he can throw. And after 8 games, he's completing 48% of his passes.
I don't care how.
So
he
I'm
does
sorry,
it.
You haven't proven to me that he can play quarterback.
I'm sorry, he doesn't do it the way you want him to do it.
But don't say that I didn't think he could get on the field.
This is what people were
saying. That's
this
ridiculous,
guy can't
even for
play
you.
In the NFL, and
I don't think
wrong.
He can.
Well, he's doing it.
Okay, well, so is John Skelton. I don't think he can play in the NFL either. So is Tyler Palko. Yeah. I don't think he can play in the NFL either.
I don't know what you call what
I'm not
what
actually
Tebow's
saying
doing.
Be on the field.
He's playing in the NFL.
I don't think
at the quarterback position.
All right, Fred, you can be stubborn and we can just, you know,
what's
have a
stubborn
we can
about
we
can,
Matthew
that?
Slater can play safety
right.
in the NFL.
We can fabricate an argument for your purposes, and that's obviously what you're looking for. So we'll just me and Andy will play the role
you're
of
you're being
Andy-like
ridiculous.
No, I think you guys are being stubborn.
You're being ridiculous.
No, you're just taking a small sample of 8 games and you're closing the book. You sound like Mike Felger.
Okay. So I can't have an opinion.
No, you absolutely Felger. Can have an opinion, but you're saying literally that I said that he would never step on the field.
I forget about you, okay?
I don't think he can throw well enough to play quarterback at the NFL level, and so far he's completing fewer than half of his passes.
But I heard this on the radio exactly what you just said. Well, let's see in 5 years what he's doing.
Let's see in next year. Forget
it's not
that.
Take 5 years.
The goalpost has moved. You know, the people are moving the goalpost.
I'm not moving
on this
the goalpost. I don't think he can throw. I've been very consistent on this.
But can he play quarterback?
No, I don't think if you can't throw, you can't play quarterback in this league. That's how I feel. Well, you might be able to have success in pockets like Doug Flutie did. Couldn't win over the long haul.
Like Ronnie Vince Brown Young, did like as Vince, a Wildcat quarterback
like Vince Young did.
Well, wait a minute now.
Vince Young did it for a year. He made the playoffs. Young was a winner. He won a lot of games.
Hold on.
I don't think you can
All
succeed
right,
that way.
Hold on for a second. Do you think Doug Flutie couldn't play quarterback in the NFL?
No. That's why he never won anything.
But see, now I have to I think he was one game away from going to the
but it's okay.
AFC Championship.
When? He never won a playoff game.
He should have started, but he should have started that game and brought him to the point.
See, that's the whole thing about Flutie. It's all woulda, shoulda, coulda, but no. The facts are he never won a playoff game.
No, to say that Doug Flutie couldn't play quarterback in the NFL, that's just wrong.
I don't think he could.
And I don't like him either.
Listen,
you know, but come on.
But Fred, you can disagree all you want. I'm very consistent on it. You're saying I'm moving the goalposts.
You are.
Nothing could be further from the truth. I don't think he can throw well enough to play quarterback, and I didn't think Flutie could.
And you don't know.
He can run around and make plays and do some funny things against bad teams, but when the rubber hit the road, he could not win in the playoffs, despite the fact that he inherited a team that was a 23.5-point favorite in a playoff game at home. The Chicago Bears lost. Why? Because you can't be a rodeo circus clown and run around and make plays and win consistently against good opponents.
I don't think that
rodeo circus clown.
Yes, that's Doug Flutie.
I don't think that Doug Flutie.
What is that? I've heard of rodeo clown and a circus clown.
But to say he couldn't play quarterback in the NFL, that's just not fair.
To take every
single. You may
not
like him, and I don't either. But he could play quarterback.
But you're taking every syllable.
But what's your bar?
Completely. I don't think you can. My point, Fred, is not that you can't have him on your team playing quarterback. I don't think you can get where you want to go with a guy like that playing quarterback. Well, I know you want to take it all into semantics,
you know,
I'll rephrase. I don't think you can win with him.
All right, Paul, stop
okay?
yelling, please.
I'll rephrase for you.
If the bar is winning
now,
a championship.
Now he's all mad.
No, if the bar is winning a championship, then I'd say 70% of the
quarterbacks. My bar is not winning a championship, Fred. My bar is winning consistently and having a contending team consistently. And that Tom Brady doesn't win the championship every year.
How about Jay Fiedler? He played quarterback in the NFL. He could play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't win with him. You can't win with him.
He never won a champion. Oh, I was putting him on the other side. I think he had a long enough career where you say he's competitive in the NFL.
Right.
I don't think Tim Tebow is ever going to be Jay Fiedler.
See,
Jay Fiedler was the starting quarterback for the Dolphins for
Stop moving
4 years.
I think he would be to that level.
Oh, we'll see.
By the way, I think that's a fair level to judge him.
I think you can get to Jay Fiedler's level.
Oh, I don't.
Sure. You know,
I think as a first-round pick, that's not a fair
compare
level.
Compare an undrafted free agent out of the Ivy League.
That was a mistake.
But that's what he is.
But he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
He was a first-round pick. At quarterback, that has an expectation to it.
Yeah, but I think that was a bad pick to pick him there.
I also think less of Jay Fiedler than Andy does. I think that you can have him as your quarterback, but you ain't ever going anywhere with him.
See, I think Jay Fiedler is way better than Doug Flutie.
Oh, I
way
do too.
Better than Tim
oh,
Tebow.
Oh, I do
way
too.
Way better than
I agree with that. But I'm saying you like I want to rephrase. Can't play. I don't think you can win enough with those guys.
But that's what I'm saying.
They can win in pockets here and there.
Jay Fiedler
Vince Young
for long enough
games.
With Miami that you'd got to give him some credit for whatever it was.
Sure.
This is a flash in the pan that comes along every single. Paul's right. There's another flash in the pan happening in Arizona. There's Vince. This happens every year where somebody flashes and people get suckered into thinking he can play.
Do you think Elvis Gerback was like Flutie and Tebow, where
a lot better.
But he was a kind of a flash. He never really won anything. But
no, he wasn't a great quarterback. But he was a lot better than those guys.
But he's, you know, he did things in the NFL and never won anything. But you know, I just think that
I know what your point is, Fred. Your point is there's a lot of different ways to do it. I think, right?
And I think
I understand what you're saying.
I'll agree that Tebow needs to improve.
Are there really?
Tebow needs
No, I'm saying I understand what Fred is saying in that he doesn't do it conventionally, but that doesn't mean he can't succeed.
But when to use Paul's term, a rodeo circus clown won the Super Bowl?
But when's the last time this guy is unique?
But I would even say when.
But Mike Vick is unique, and Vince Young is unique, and they're all unique, and I just haven't seen the Super Bowls.
See, but I would even take it short of the Super Bowl, Andy. I would say when was the last time those guys consistently said, okay, that guy's the quarterback for a team 3 years in a row. They went to the playoffs twice, and they went to the conference final, you know, whatever. Those guys don't ever get to the playoffs consistently. Vince Young got to the playoffs once,
right?
And 3 years later, he's barely a backup. You know, Michael Vick is the best ever in that kind of a niche quarterback role in terms of long-term success. And he hasn't really sustained it in the playoffs. But he's had a long career where you could say, okay, he's not the reason why you can't win at all.
But even when he was at his best, everybody said, it's because he's playing. You can't win at all with him. No. They said he's playing well now. When he was the MVP last year at like this right. November,
right?
It was because he was standing in the pocket. He was going through his reads. He had gotten rid of the old Michael Vick from Atlanta, right?
Okay, so
whereas running
could
was
Tebow
just,
improve?
I don't think so. And I agree with Bill. He looks no different to me than the guy that played at Florida,
yeah,
who looked no different at Florida than he did in high school when Urban Meyer wanted to change him and realized I can't change him.
That's one
but
of
this
those,
is good enough here.
If I had a an ounce of balls and was not afraid to ask questions. He said that today, Indy, and I picked up on the same thing I think that you did. He was asked about Tebow and his development, and he answered by saying flat out, same guy to me. He was a productive passer in college, and looks like he's doing those same kind of things. The obvious question to me, and I didn't have the balls to ask it, I'll admit, well, why is he completing less than half of his passes if he's such a gifted passer?
Right, because in college he completed
NFL,
over 70%.
In the NFL, you need to be completing over 60, and I would even say closer to 65 to be good. And he's completing 48. Why, if he's so gifted as a passer?
And converting 31%
of
his third
But match. I don't think Bill is saying that he's gifted as a passer.
That's what he said.
Well, no, he said he's doing the same things he did in college.
He's a very productive passer.
He's not
a very productive passer.
He used another one of those where somebody said, you know, he's not accurate, and what changes in the fourth quarter where he suddenly starts making plays? Well, yeah. I don't really agree with all that. He used another one of those phrases where he doesn't believe the premise of the question. He shot it down. But that's fact. He goes like, you know, 3 of 16, and then all of a sudden he goes 12 of 14.
His fourth quarter numbers are like a different guy.
And, yeah, and why is that? And Bill didn't agree with the premise.
And people, the question was actually asked, because he has a little bit of an unorthodox style, does that lend him to be a little bit more prone to streaks? Where he can get hot, like we've seen him do in the fourth quarter. He was on fire the other day against Chicago. Andy and I were like going crazy watching him. But at the same time, he goes through a period where he was 3 for 18. So, you know, that was the question, was what kind of his style, does it lend it to be more streaky? And he says he didn't see it. Right. He doesn't see him being streaky. He's the same productive guy he was in college.
Except for that
he's not.
7 3 and outs, including 4 straight in the third and early fourth quarter. That's not all that productive when you go 7-3 and out, right? I mean, if his team went 7-3 and out, would he say, my quarterback's the same productive guy we've always had? No. Yeah, he'd be rip-poo.
I mean, I don't know if Bill is thinking that, you know, what's around him isn't that good, or, you know, or when he says production, he's just looking at
victories, the Paul Perillo win-based formula.
TDs, first interception, taking care of the ball, moving the team down the field, that type of thing.
Well, there's also something to be said in that whole, he doesn't turn it over. Well, he doesn't try to. He doesn't try to make plays. You don't have to go crazy and be a gunslinger, but at some point, make plays. Try to make plays. Yeah. You know, have confidence in your arm, which I see why he doesn't, because he has no idea where the ball's going when it leaves his hand.
That's not nice.
And he touches little boys.
All right,
I get your point, Fred.
Do you hear me?
Your
ask
larger
Hernandez?
Point is just don't sell him short. I get it.
I tried to ask Hernandez about, you know, people not liking him and the political views, and he said that's never been an issue in the locker room.
Right.
No, I said other people. Right. I didn't tell him I hate him.
Right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
But you don't get a playoff field in this game at all, Fred?
I don't. I don't get it. I get a...
I don't know how you can be so passionately pro-Tebow and then not give him a chance to win the game.
I definitely get an event feel.
If he's as good as you think he is, don't you think he should have success against this defense?
I don't think he's that good yet. I don't think he's that good yet. And again.
Why did we waste the first 20 minutes of this show?
I apologize. The last 20 minutes were for naught.
You guys aren't. You refuse to listen to what I'm saying.
You refuse to acknowledge he hasn't changed in about 7-8 years.
Listen, for once. Shut up and listen.
No. If you're not going to listen to us, why do we have to listen to you? Maybe you should shut up and listen for once.
You are not
listening to you, Fred.
This is a show of debate where we go back and forth. But how come you can ignore us, but we can't ignore you, and we get told to shut up and listen?
What I have said since the beginning, and I will say it again, is that I think he can play in the NFL. I didn't say he's that good. I am disagreeing with the people that said he has no future as a quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, well, those people are right, and you're wrong.
That's simply what I'm saying.
You're wrong.
Okay, but
I think he should win the Super Bowl this year.
So what do you, like, when you say he can play in the NFL, what is your definition of that?
Like I said, you know, a fair comparison would be like a Jay Fiedler. That would be a fair comparison.
Okay.
All right. And so you don't think he's very good then?
Well, but here's what this is why I'm saying it, because there's a lot of people that didn't even think he would even touch that level in the NFL.
You think there's a lot of people that didn't think he could be a former Ivy League guy undrafted and just sort of...
Yes. Really? I think there were people that said he won't play, he stinks. And you know that there were a lot of people that said that.
I think that you take... The words,
and I think you because he stinks.
I think you
look at the numbers. He stinks.
I just think you take the words "he can't play in the NFL" literally. I don't think it's meant to be a literal statement.
I don't think Sergio Brown can play in the NFL, but he's been on this team for 14 weeks.
For 2 years now.
Right.
But can we be clear with what I'm saying right now?
I don't know what you are saying. You think he's going to get better?
How
or...
good do you think he is? I don't really get it. I mean, do you think? I don't,
is he going to be a Jag? They're always trying to replace?
I don't see how you can be so pro Tebow and not think they can beat the Patriots. I don't think they can beat the Patriots because of Tebow.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I would actually give Denver a chance to win the game had they had a regular quarterback.
I
think any regular quarterback would have success against this secondary.
I think if the Denver defense keeps this close, they can win. I don't think they will.
They can't. You can't go
I agree
7
with you.
3
but,
and
but
out.
The reason they can't is not because of their defense. It's because of their offense. It's because of their quarterback.
Well, I also think...
Their quarterback can't protect the ball well enough. Not protect the ball in turnovers. He can't convert third downs
but
to
I
stay
also,
out there.
I'm also going to give you guys credit. Yesterday, you guys kind of convinced me in reminding me that, you know, the defense has improved, but they haven't really played any good offenses yet. So I'm taking that into consideration. Well, maybe the defense is a little overinflated.
I don't think there's a lot of defenses in the NFL that if their quarterback goes 7-3 and outs, can hang on. I think that is a task they can't win.
Like, I think there's 25 teams they could be playing that they wouldn't be able to have beaten. But they happen to be playing Kansas City and Chicago and Phillip Rivers when he was in even that game.
Hey,
they missed two free throws.
Frank Todick's on TV behind
the hot chick. That is Frank
Todick. Oh, yeah.
You know, behind the hot chick.
Former.
The big forehead in the background.
Former employee.
Do you still have his email
PFW
address? We're
going
to have to send him something today.
Anyway.
Quick question.
But it's all the offenses that they've played.
Yeah.
They've played in this little stretch
and
to
I
be the only
with,
ones
and,
that they could have beaten.
And you reminded me of that. And I, you know, because I'm like painting their defense as, wow, you know, they're back to the Orange Crush days. And they may not be. They may not be, you know, because they haven't really played.
He's such a fan.
And so for those reasons, I think that, Brady's going to score at least in the 20s, and that's going to be too much.
Right. Okay, I have a quick totally side topic. James Harrison has his appeal today at 2 p.m.
I thought he wasn't going to
for
appeal.
I just saw that.
No, you must be right, I assume. I
saw it on Twitter.
I thought I saw something yesterday that he didn't plan on appealing.
When you appeal, can the suspension grow?
I don't think so.
No. That's what I would do. I would give him an extra. I would say, okay, it's 2 games. I would give him the old parent saying, you're grounded for a week, you keep yapping.
Want to go for
a
month?
It's 2. You want to go for a month? Because... You're a hothead. You say you're going to play like an a-hole, and when I punish you for playing like an a-hole, take it and move on. If you're going to keep making me deal with these issues, okay, now it's 2 games. Let's see how long you want to play this.
Yeah.
I'll win. I'm the commissioner.
Plus, he came out again and said, I'm not changing the way I play.
Exactly. You want to appeal, I'm going to keep adding to it. Take your poison, shut up, and you can come back in a week.
Yeah, but I don't think that should make him not allowed to appeal. It's just she should not have any possible chance to win the appeal.
No, but you're mocking him. You're telling him, I'm not going to learn. You're the ultimate authority figure of your league is telling you X, Y, and Z, and you're saying, I'm not going to change 1 ounce of the way I play. You're giving a big bird to the commissioner.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. He's your boss.
I think you take that into consideration the next time.
I would take it into this time, and I'd say 2 games.
Well,
you keep playing?
But you should have done that. He should have done that before. I mean, that's what he said the last time. He should have gotten a bigger suspension.
I mean, if
this
I'm
time.
Goodell.
No. It's 1 game for the act on the field. You committed
but
this.
I'm
not going to hold you to any super special standard. You committed what is a 1 game with your track record.
Yeah, see, that's
your
why
one
I
game.
Think he got one
but
game.
But now I give you 1 game and you tell me nothing's going to change. You're still going to be an a-hole. You're telling me you're not going to change, and yet you're appealing.
Yeah.
I'd give you 2.
I hear you.
We can keep playing this game as long as you want. You won't play till next year.
We said 5 of these in 3 years. So I'm Goodell, and I'm saying, now, I read on Twitter or wherever, you said you're not going to change. Is that true? I don't want to put any words in your mouth. Are you going to look at me in the eyes and tell me you're not changing? No, I'm not going to change. All right, 2 games.
Exactly. That's what I would do.
Or maybe you don't play at all until you tell me you are going to change.
Right.
You know?
You'll be in timeout until your timeout's over, little kid.
Right. I mean, you cannot allow Look, I know that the commissioner isn't, you know, the king of the NFL. It's really the owners that are the king
of
the NFL.
He's there.
But he's the king of discipline.
I do like your scenario there, though. You're saying, like, all right, now I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're going to look me in the eye and tell me you're not going to change.
And you know Harrison would.
Yeah, he's too stupid.
Right.
But I think you take that into consideration the next time. I don't think you can up the suspension now.
Yeah.
He should have given him more than if that's how he felt. He should have given him more now because you know how Harrison feels.
But no,
that's
you
the way he talks.
You can't assume. So you have to give him what you believe is a fair suspension, one game for this single act. Oh, now you're going to pop off? Okay, it just became two. Like this is beyond the original incident.
Right.
You've added to it.
Right. It's like the cop when he pulls you over. Okay, you're going to get a speeding ticket. Your mouth off.
Right.
You might get arrested.
You're getting more. Right. You're getting more.
Right.
That's a good point. You guys swayed me.
Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's pizza day. We'll have some Papa Gino's pizza. And
We also got to the bottom of an issue a little bit in the Bill Belichick press conference. We've talked some of these inactives that are active but are inactive, in uniform but don't play, you know, the DNPCD, as they say in the NBA. And clearly Bill kind of said in so many words, those guys are only active because they're the healthy ones, and they don't play because there's other guys healthy at their position. If everything was equal and everybody was healthy, Gary Guyton would not have been active last week. But there was no one else to be active, so he was active. That's basically what Bill said, which is, I find, amazing. Guy started all 16 games 2 years ago, played all 16 last year, including 8 starts. Now he's a healthy scratch.
That's
while
funny.
Tracy White.
I took it a little different than that.
How did you take it?
I took it that he was the healthiest of the guys that are hurt.
That's how I take it.
And that they didn't want to have him play unless it was an emergency, whereas other guys that were inactive couldn't have played in an emergency. That's how I took it. But Andy may be 1,000% right. It's one of those things where
he's not on the injury report. And Bill said, you know, the other guys couldn't play.
Mayo's not in the injury report either, though. And you know Mayo's still
Mayo played.
No, but you know he's still dealing with something, is my point.
I think Guyton is healthy. I think he's in the doghouse, and I think it's amazing. I don't know why.
I don't
know what he did.
I think he's in the doghouse.
I do. I think he's very much in the doghouse, and
I
don't really know why.
It's impossible for him to be in the doghouse. Such a nice guy.
What?
He's a nice guy. He can't be in the doghouse.
Never mind.
All right, let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. First up is Larry from Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Tremendous.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna say this: Tebow sucks, but he found a way to win. So
that's the facts.
That's the best way to describe the guy. You can't hate him, can't like him.
Oh, I can hate him.
But I wonder if it's too early to look to the draft because this defense is horrendous, and I don't see us going anywhere if Brady is not having a good game.
And, okay, well that's fair.
Yeah, if Brady's having a tough time when getting three and out, I don't feel like we're going to go far. As I was looking towards the draft on defense, I think we should just go all defense. Yeah, we'll probably get a receiver later on, but I think it's defense. Because I think if Brady can score about 20 points with the people he have now, you know, at least, you know, get a defense that can hold people down. So I was wondering, like, because a whole LSU and Alabama have a bunch of picks coming out defensively being in the first round. So
yep.
Bill Belichick has...
I would take any of the LSU defensive backs.
Yeah, and this is a defensive back from USC, the free safety.
Yep.
Yeah, he's very good, too.
Yeah, I believe that we should get that because we need a safety. Because Sergio Brown, I'm not going to take that again.
The only question I would have, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative here, is how much faith are you going to have that he's going to take the right defensive players? Because that's been a problem of late. These defensive guys in the first and second round have either merry-weathered, where they're flat out of town, or haven't really lived up. I mean, Cunningham played last year, doesn't play this year. Butler gone. You know, there's not a great track record in those first two rounds of defensive
it's true,
players.
But some of that, you know, got resolved with the Kansas City move when some people went.
So. I didn't know Scott Pioli was here as recent as Fred thinks he was here.
But that's all I wanted to say. I can talk about that, you know, because the defense is horrendous. So we're going to need a free safety, and we're going to need a corner. I thought we're not going to draft any more corners. We're going to need another corner.
And you need linebacker help. I still say linebacker, regardless of 3-4-4-3, I still think linebacker is greatly undermanned. I know one of the guys that, what's his name? The Hightower kid out of Alabama. Dante.
Yeah. He's a beast.
I know a lot of he's going to be right on the border of, I think, Patriots pick. He's going to be like a mid-first round pick somewhere in there.
I'm looking forward to some of that tape this year on some of those guys because those defenses are unbelievable. That LSU and Alabama defenses were unbelievable.
Bill will probably draft a guard to replace Brian Waters.
Oh, I was going to go to Tim in Kansas City, but he dropped off. So let's go over to Wyoming. Joe in Wyoming. Hey, Joe.
Dane Fletcher country.
Hi.
New from
guys.
Montana.
How you doing?
Yeah, it's close.
Oh, I'm doing okay. I usually don't get to listen to the show live because I'm usually at work, but I got today off, so thought I'd call in.
Where do you work in Wyoming?
Cheyenne Regional Medical Center.
Oh, okay. Are you in one of those regions where they don't have speed limits, or do they have that now?
No, they do have speed limits, but speed limits are generally 75 miles an hour.
Okay.
And the highway's wide open. So the cops will get you if you go more than 10, but you can drive 85 usually, you know.
Okay. All right, what's your Patriots-related question?
Oh, Patriots stuff. Well, Belichick in the Super Bowl years, if I remember, he built the 3-4 and built a defensive line. And basically, if I remember, he had first-round picks for all of them, Will Fork, Seymour, and someone else.
Ty Warren.
Ty Warren, right. And we went 3 Super Bowls. And pretty much, as we know, or it's debatable, but most people feel defense is the way we win in the playoffs. If you have to have a stronger defense or an offense, you go with defense. But he hasn't been doing that. He's had first-round pick after first-round pick, and he either trades him away, trades down, but he's not really replacing the line anymore. So, why not? He's using his second and third-round picks for defensive players and they're not working. The first-round picks he has used on defense have seemed to work out. Why not go back to that?
Well, I don't know if you would argue that they've all worked out, the first-round pick. I mean, McCourty is totally up in the air this year.
Brandon Merriweather was a first-round pick.
Was a first-round bust.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you can make that argument.
And but Gerard Mayo's a great
lineman.
Yeah. Well, you had that. And the other thing is they didn't go to all the Super Bowls with those guys. You know, Seymour was drafted in 01, and he was playing with Jags.
Anthony, he was the only Pleasance, one that
Bobby
went to
Hamilton.
All three.
Right. And then you added Ty Warren, and then you added Vince Wilfork later. And Wilfork only went to one,
clearly
right?
Got better in 03 and 04.
Yes, but I don't know that it's just that defensive line. I think, again, that there were a lot of talented players on those teams.
Rodney Harrison, Willie McGinnis. Yeah.
Mike Vrabel,
Teddy Bruschi.
So don't get me wrong. I think the front was important, but I also think the linebackers and the secondary was important.
And remember,
agreed.
Ted Washington came in for one of those Super Bowls. You know, he wasn't a draft pick. They brought him in for basically a year.
And Keith Traylor came in for the next one, right. So he and Will Fork split.
Right. So.
Yeah. But, no, I think I'm with you and all of Pastry Nation. We need a pass rush. We got 2 first-round picks. I would do one on defensive line and one some type of rushing linebacker. And then, you know, that helps your secondary. Because it takes a while, takes corners to get developed sometimes.
Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason because we're not going to know, theoretically, are they a 4-3 team or a 3-4 team? Are we looking for Andre Carter types, hand in their dirt, defensive ends?
But I'll just ask Bill before the draft
process starts. And he'll let you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be, I find it fascinating right now that we're talking about the draft a little bit here.
Yeah.
Heading into what Paul says feels like a playoff game and this team vying for a bye.
Right.
Well, I think we've already established there ain't nothing we can fix it this year.
I think that's true.
That is definitely true.
I mean, you could play a good game.
It's got fixes.
I mean, you could play better in a game, but I don't think that you are going to be a better defense magically.
But do we give up total hope on, say, Jermaine Cunningham?
Thanks for the call, Joe.
No.
I do, personally.
I don't think that he was that good as a rookie.
He wasn't.
That's where I sort of separate myself from.
Yeah, but using your
Pats
you
fans,
like the year 2, year 3 jump.
No, but what I'm saying is
just the fact that Bill put him out there and allowed him to play so much as a rookie, you had to have some feeling, that's pretty impressive. This guy's going to develop whatever he's going to be.
Yeah, I just look at it like Devin McCourty to me as a rookie, I understand that's ridiculously high end. But
Paul
I
only likes Pro Bowl rookies.
No, but I understand. My point being that I understand what the fans were excited about. I could see him making plays, even when he wasn't picking off passes early in the year. I could see what people were excited about. Jermaine Cunningham, to me, I never really – there was a lot of excitement about Jermaine Cunningham last year.
Really?
A lot.
Oh, I didn't.
And I never really saw it.
I didn't
and
hear
it. And we just got an Ask PFW today that mentioned all the plays that he made last year, and he put in parentheses pressuring on the Sanders pick against Indianapolis. To which I was saying to myself, if I was answering that question, okay, name me another one.
Right. Now, there were he batted another pass. I mean, he had maybe four plays.
He was on the field for, what, 80% last year? He was a full-time player year and
my
did
thing
virtually
with,
nothing.
My thing with Cunningham is that he didn't throw up on himself, but he didn't do much. You'd see him a lot, you know, getting into the little dance routine with the linemen and really being stood up.
It was
and
Derek
not,
Burgess from the year
yeah,
before.
Yeah, he wasn't doing much. And so I'm...
Yeah, but the expectations are different.
The jury
Absolutely.
Might be out.
You're a
but,
second-round pick coming in. I think if you just play all the time, that's a good sign.
Right. And
now he doesn't play.
And evidently, that's where the enthusiasm was coming from. Well, he's out there.
Right.
Right.
So he must be doing something.
Yeah,
you know.
I never got excited from what I saw.
I didn't either. Yeah. I projected. Yeah. I always think if you can play right away, that's a good sign. I don't really almost care what you do.
Yeah.
If Bill says you are the best option I have.
I know it's a different position, but
especially
Ty
on a 14
Warren,
win team.
You know, Ty Warren, for example, when he first came, first round pick,
he
played,
was quiet.
But he didn't do a lot. It wasn't until that Washington game his second year that he kind of, that was his coming out game, you know?
Just think it's funny when Paul was talking about Devin McCourty being so good. I look up on the monitor. Dante Stallworth catching the ball and then dancing, doing a little jig in front of him.
Let's go to California. Tyler's on the line. Hey, Tyler.
Hey. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Is this thing on?
Hello, California.
Yeah.
California!
I'm a first-time caller, but like I'm a big fan of your show.
Oh, thank you. You
sound like Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, guys, like, I was just thinking about the Tom Brady era, you know, with Bill Belichick.
Is this Aaron Hernandez? Because I'm going to answer it differently if this is Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's here.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, like, the last three playoff games, we have choked big time in the playoffs. Cause against the Jets, Giants, and,
This is Aaron Hernandez. No, I'm only kidding.
No, but, like, against the Jets, Giants and Ravens, all those teams, I think that we should have beat. Like,
yeah,
but instead we just choked.
I think they choked against the Giants.
But yeah,
I don't think they choked against the Ravens or the Jets.
I think the situation seemed too big for them. I don't think they matched the intensity of the game one bit, and I think that's choking.
I think they played to their level. I think that the Giants game they choked.
They didn't play to their level. When Tom Brady is just blindly throwing the ball into the middle of the field, that's not playing to his level. That's choking.
You might be right.
Because I don't see him do that every week. I
thought
see
they got beat
weeks.
By a better team. I thought the Giants.
I think they got beat by a comparable team. But they didn't show up. I mean, even the owner last year said they didn't show up. And that, to me, is choking. If you don't show up for the situation, that's a choke job.
Tyler, is that all you called to say is that they choked in the playoffs?
Are
you mad at him?
This year, like, I'm not really feeling that confident. You know, our defense is trash. And and Tom Brady isn't really playing like Tom Brady that we last year.
I know he's just on pace to break Marino's record, but that's
he's throwing a lot of picks.
He's one of 16 guys.
Plus, he's got a lot of picks.
He's also got receivers dropping balls like Aaron Hernandez. You
compared to what though? You know, Tyler, you say he's throwing a lot of picks, but I mean,
compared to him.
Well, yeah, but he's what? He has 11 this year.
Yeah,
I mean
that's a lot for him.
That's really not. You know, it's
but
not
for
that
him,
bad.
But for him, it is.
Well, not really. Depends
no.
how many he throws in the next three games. He always throws somewhere in the range of 12 to 14.
If he goes another 200 passes without throwing one, then he would have evened it out. Yeah.
But that's what he's been of late. I mean, he was at
I'm
10 when he was on
late.
Pace
I'm talking
for
about
20.
For the season. The season, he's thrown 11. The last two combined, he's thrown 12.
Okay. If you want to take the pace at one point in the season and say, he's on pace for a career-high 20 interceptions, except he's
not anymore.
I'm
not taking a pace. I'm talking he threw 11.
Right.
Whereas last year he threw
14. So you think he's
going to
throw more than 14?
Right?
So you think he's going to throw more than 14? Because that's basically what he does.
No, I'm talking about the number 11. I'm not putting any pace to it.
So he's not throwing more than for him.
He only threw four last year.
So
he's
that's the norm. That's
year.
The norm for him, Fred. Four is the norm.
When was the last time he threw more than 10?
Thanks for the call, Tyler.
Probably
06?
06, 07. How many thrown? 9 and 07?
I think he threw eight. How many throw in 09? Maybe I might be missing 09. He might have thrown more than that.
I just don't think four is the norm for any
quarterback. I don't think it's the norm either.
No, greatest of all time, four is not the norm.
He's not the norm. He's not a normal quarterback.
No, but
he's
Paul,
great.
To be fair.
You don't think he's thrown more interceptions this year than he has normally?
I think he's, you know, if you take the average, it's about average right now.
Yeah.
For him?
Yeah. For him.
All right.
I mean, we can check it out. I might be wrong.
I mean, he's had so many years where it's 12, 14. Yeah,
but I mean,
I think early on he was on that pace.
But through eight games,
he had 10, and everybody's like, whoa, he's throwing a ton.
Right.
And then he didn't throw any.
But I'm not going back 5, 6, 7 years. I'm talking about the last couple of seasons he's had. He hasn't thrown double figures.
Well, okay.
So that's the norm, though.
Yes.
See, I don't, because I think he's been a great quarterback for 7 years. And I think last year was historic. One of the great seasons you will ever see for somebody to throw four picks.
Okay. All right. I just think he's thrown more interceptions this year than he did
last three. Have to look at attempts and all that stuff, too.
Well, I don't care about that.
Well, certainly not throwing it more often now than he ever has the last couple of years.
Right.
You know, yardage-wise, he's as doing as well as he ever has. He's going to be over 30 touchdowns, you know, again.
He already is over 30
over
touchdowns.
Over 30, you know.
Again, this is like somehow it turns into an indictment on Brady's season. All I said was he was throwing interceptions more than he had last couple of years. That's all. I didn't say he was having a terrible year.
You know, and even you said, Paul, like,
well, that's fact.
A lot of those.
But you said more than the norm for him, more
for
than
him.
He throws.
For
but
him.
I don't think the last couple of years were the norm.
But you even said
that
earlier
was the
in the season, Paul, like, you know, a lot of those tip balls that were falling to the ground are being, you know, caught this year. And, you know, some of those aren't Tom Brady's fault. You can look at a lot of those.
I don't think I said that this year.
You absolutely did. You said it all evens out.
I think he said one tip ball that wasn't his fault.
You absolutely said earlier in the season, you know, all those balls that were falling harmlessly to the ground aren't being caught, and that, you know,
right. But I don't think I said that wasn't his fault.
Some of them weren't.
When he's throwing a pass behind Danny Woodhead and it's going off his hand and it's tipped in the air and gets picked.
I finally got him to admit that wasn't Danny Woodhead's. That was my goal. Okay, thank you. Let's go to Tim in Pensacola.
This
hey,
turned
Tim.
Into the most ridiculous show we've ever had.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
You honor me by taking my call.
And then
you
take this guy to completely throw us off the track.
This rodeo clown.
I'm out.
I have a scenario that I was considering with some friends yesterday, and it might be slightly immoral, so I'm kind of on the fence about it. I probably would lean towards not doing it, but I want to get your take. Okay, now you guys said if we went up against the Packers or the Saints in the Super Bowl, we'd be cooked, right?
Yes.
I have a strategy, a plan, that would ensure not only a Patriots victory, but a Patriots blowout.
Does this involve DeSean Jackson and Vincent Jackson?
It must have something to do with like Tonya Harding sending two goons to hit Aaron Rodgers with a lead pipe.
No, well, close, but no. We could do it with this roster. Okay, you know how when quarterbacks, like, throw the ball when people are rushing at them, they just kind of barely get it out of their hands? Well, what if we were to take one of our Jag defenders, and after just a second after Aaron Rodgers threw it out of his hand, we got him to blow out his knee?
Oh, that's not right.
Blow this guy up. Blow him up. Blow him up! This guy's an idiot. Blow him up. Blow it.
No, that's not right.
Blow him up.
You're right. It is not right. But
why are you allowing him to talk? Blow him up.
Because Fred is respectful, but so you guys agree it's not really good.
No,
right?
That's not a good thing. We don't ever advocate hurting
another player. Argos might do that,
Tim,
but Patriots don't.
Call back tomorrow with something better. All right. Let's go to.
That would be a first. As Paul would say, that's different from the norm for Tim to have something better because he's yet to have a productive call on the show.
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. I think I have an idea. Instead of blowing someone's knees, maybe we should read a poem from Tim to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it would run away in the other direction.
Oh, okay.
Or it might make him so angry that he'll perform better.
It's more that listener on listener crime. I like it. I like it.
It was funny. Hey, so I have like three comments. The first one is I don't think that our defense scares anyone anymore. Actually, our defense gives confidence to the opposition more and more. People think that they can become supermen when they throw against us. That's an issue. I don't know what we're going to do to be able to address that. And then the second thing, I think
Well, our defense not scaring anybody has been an issue for a while, not just
season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just woke 05. Up. Sorry, I was hibernating for a while. But the other thing, the Tebow effect, I think this guy, you know, he's capable of hypnosis. I think he's capable of putting the opposition asleep because he sucks so bad, and then people play for 58 minutes, and he wakes up the last 2 minutes, and then he does something to win the game. And I think that if we win this weekend, it's because we play 60 minutes. I think that's the only way we can be successful. And then the last thing I'm gonna say, and then I'll drop, is that I think we should really be careful as how we treat Kevin, because you guys always referring to as a monkey. Not only is it an insult to monkeys, but
I have never done that.
Be as
others
good
have.
As it
yep.
is if
I
the
have.
Guy wasn't there.
Oh, it would be. He's terrible.
It would be.
We've had
all
seven
right,
producers.
I
he's the worst. All right, see you, Olivier.
Thanks, Olivier.
I've referred to him as a monkey. I'm guilty.
Oh,
of
me
that.
Too.
We'll take.
Well,
one
how can
more
you
call.
Not when he stands there and rubs and scratches his head and stuff, picks fleas out of his beard?
We'll take one more call. Then we'll
swore.
Take a break. KB is in Atlanta. Hey, KB.
Hey guys, you honor me by taking my call.
Thank you, KB.
It's not a good way to start your call, but what do you got?
No, I'm just joking. Well, one of the most frustrating players to watch this year has been Devin McCourty, and I just don't understand how one player can go from being in a Pro Bowl, making great plays, interceptions last year to
the ball was already
looking to basically. To basically looking like, the dude doesn't even know how to play football anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, he can't even turn around and look at the quarterback to make a play, and I just don't understand. I mean, is that what you call a bust? Because I just don't understand how one player can go from being good to just completely sucking. You know.
I think he's thinking. I think he's thinking too much. You watch all these plays. He's thinking about where he has to be and how he has to catch up and. I just don't think he's playing. He's not comfortable. Now he's hurt, and that's part of it now. But that wasn't a part of it,
yeah.
You know, the first 8 weeks of
I
the season.
I wish I had an answer.
No one does. I don't think Bill Belichick has an answer.
That's as good as any of I've
Bill would
I've
say,
heard, though.
If we had an answer, we'd fix
we probably
it.
Probably would have fixed it.
I think it's totally – you have to wait till next year. Sophomore slump is one of those inexplicable things. Maybe this is it.
I mean, would you guys consider him or class him under bust?
No.
No,
you can't. No,
he had a great year last year.
He did too much well to be considered a bust
right.
now.
Like I said,
could he be the comeback player of the year next year?
We probably made a mistake last year saying he's going to be the next Ty Law, and we'd make the same mistake if we said he was a bust this year. We have to wait a little bit.
You know, it takes 3 years to evaluate a draft class. He's going to use all three.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I do think that he did enough things well that. You don't put him in a bust category. Now, if he had a so-so rookie year and then followed it up with a year like this, yeah, you'd call him a bust.
He'd be with Darius Butler in Carolina.
Right. He probably wouldn't be around.
But I just wonder, the next phase you wonder about is even more mental. If he's thinking on the field, when does the confidence just get blown out and he feels like he can't compete anymore for whatever reason, whatever
well,
is going
the other,
on?
The other thing I worry about him is that he's playing with that arm. There's no way that him playing makes that arm any better.
Oh, God.
So is
that's why I'm surprised they brought him back.
Is he just going to, like, limp through the rest of the season?
Yes.
Without
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah. That's, I was really surprised they brought him back for Indy.
Made no
Andy,
sense.
Andy had the thing on Twitter that it was painful watching him take his shirt off on the Friday before the Indianapolis game. And then he played. I would have bet everything that he wouldn't play in that game. Winless team at home, and the guy was clearly in pain. But I guess that just shows you how desperate the situation is that Belichick feels, I need to get this guy out there. I need to get this guy to snap out of it.
Right.
Need to have him make some plays. And
but do you go the other way?
It's backfired.
Because now he's struggling and he's hurt. He has something else
and not only that,
hindering him.
And we've even noticed a couple of times, I think the best thing that you could say about Devin McCourty this year is he's been a good run support
tackler.
Well, yeah,
he's our run-stuffing corner.
And he's been bad at that.
Well, yeah, I'd be shying away from contact
because he
now,
can't.
Too.
Yeah, not no indictment of him. He can't.
All right.
You think he'll be a captain next year?
McCourty?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
But what if you have to cut him? No, you're cutting a captain.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be dedicated to your emails here on PFW in Progress.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So I think, you guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Drive.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yes. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochee. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
Remember but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays,
yes,
they do.
But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
Well, the end zones were sided.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, we're going to get to your emails in this segment at webradio@patriots.com. Let's start right off with Phil. He says, wanted to tell you a great job with PFW as usual. I'm writing to tell you I'm driving all the way from Albuquerque, New Mexico to take my wife and two daughters to their first Patriots game.
Holy
They're
crap.
So excited. The Denver game. I warned.
Oh, yeah.
I warned them that.
My bad.
I warned them there's a very good chance we will lose this game. I hate to say this, but Mr. Tebow could easily have his highest passing game yet. I hope not, but the Patriots secondary sucks this year. Oh, yeah, I don't know why everybody attacks Tebow for his strong faith. I'm a patriotic Christian, and I have no problem with what he does. I believe more players should proclaim the word. God bless. Have a Merry Christmas. Go Patriots.
See, that's what bothers me. I don't think any more players could. I think like 90% of the players are Bible-toting Christians who go to prayer study on Thursday night.
Huge.
But I didn't see the support of Tyrone Poole and Don Davis and, you know, Grant Williams. It's just Tebow. He's the only one that spreads the word of the Lord. You hear people call, email, you know, I've always kind of liked Tebow because I'm a Christian-fearing man, whatever. Well, what? Then why don't you like all the players? They're all religious.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of religious.
I mean, look
right.
at that player, you know, the prayer circle
yes.
after games.
Yes.
It's huge.
There's a lot of religious.
But why
right
is Tebow the
room
only
room.
One?
Well, I think he wears it on his sleeve.
Exactly. Because he's better than everyone else.
In what way?
In that he bangs married skiers.
Oh, come on now. I read.
I don't have a problem with his faith. I don't care.
I don't either. I have a problem with him being seen as better than everybody else who's going to the same Thursday night Bible study and the same Saturday night chapel.
There are a lot of pastors in the world, but there are some pastors that are just better at their job than others.
And there's some that are frauds.
Well, yeah, but
thank you.
Forget about that.
No further questions.
Let's just talk.
Shut up.
Let's just talk about all the good ones. There are some that are better than others. And as far as preaching it, he does a pretty good job at it.
That doesn't mean he's a better Christian.
No, it doesn't.
A lot of those
all.
Ones that are actually better preachers are worse Christians because they're bilking old ladies out of their money to buy their wives face jobs and boob jobs and riding limos everywhere.
I don't think
that's where I think Tim Tebow is.
Right, okay, but I don't think that's what people are saying, that he's a better Christian than other people.
No, I think he says it.
No.
See, my problem is with the people, not with Tim Tebow.
Mine's with Tebow and the people, all of the above.
I think actually, because, you know, and you know that what I think about the guy, and
right.
I went in with a preconceived dislike, but I've actually watched some of these press conferences, and I don't see the thing. I don't see him saying the things that people are claiming that he's saying. I don't see him putting himself out. I don't see him, like what we talked about on Tuesday, making the comment about, you know, thank the Lord. You know, he got us through this game today. No, that's not what he's talking. He's not claiming that Jesus is responsible for the Broncos winning.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are claiming that
that's
what he's doing.
Because it certainly ain't Tebow that's responsible.
Big Wave writes in and says, hey, Andy.
Hey, Big Wave.
What you going to do, brother, when sexy Jesus runs wild over you?
Won't be over me. It'll be over your all-pro Gerard Mayo. But
huh?
Hmm?
What you going to do?
He's not going to.
Gabe,
and by the way, Willis McGahee deserves
I finally
credit.
Got Andy to root for the Patriots for a week. it had to be Tebow, but we got him to actually be a Patriots fan for 1 week. That's pretty good.
All you have to do is tell him to pick the Patriots. All he cares about is his pick.
Right.
Just
do you
pick
really
the Patriots.
Think Tim Tebow's going to run all over him?
I don't.
I think the only chance of him pulling a miracle is he takes advantage of this, what do you like to say, crap bum secondary.
Well, can't, yeah.
Jeez.
Bunch of shoemakers.
Gave
oh, by the way, our friend Matt Lapin.
Yes.
The intern, he noticed.
Magic Pan?
He apparently noticed Kyle Arrington wearing an ankle brace. You know, all year little, there's a lot more injuries than anyone even knows about. Apparently, he had an ankle brace on.
I'm telling you, that's the untold story of the season.
Except you're telling it,
so it's not untold.
55 times a day.
Yeah, but I'm not like Sports Illustrated. When they tell it, it'll be a real
No,
story.
They're telling
or
us.
Or the Globe.
Oh. Tebow!
Now, there you have it, Freddie.
When the Globe tells it,
that's when we'll
speaking
all
speaking of,
we'll
all
take
did
notice.
You guys read Bedard today?
No.
He
no.
did a breakdown of the game and basically said that, you know, while the defense is not good, scheme-wise, schematically, they're getting better. And he pointed out a whole bunch of
reasons
for that.
That's what you said,
right.
That Bill said.
Right.
It's what was it, Andy? It's not can't. It's
not
want to.
It's
not want to. It's can't.
You know, and
they're doing what they're told.
But it's a pretty good read today, you know, in the
Globe. He's really trying hard, huh?
Do you ever read the Wednesday Globe with Greg Bedard's Because evidently,
I just said I read it.
No,
today.
No, but you're like, oh, he was
Why
a really, but he does it every Wednesday.
And, I know, but today,
but here's where I'm going. I have a point.
Yeah, you haven't gotten to anything.
He started fighting before I even made my point. Like, this is a new record.
Have you ever read it before?
But the reason is because you always make fun of me for being critical of Brandon Spikes. Okay, well, Greg Bedard's Wednesday summation is where I got a lot of the Brandon Spike stuff from, and you completely poo-pooed
and
it.
And I disagreed with him there.
Right. So now that he agrees with you,
he's good.
You're on board.
No. I'm just saying it was a good read today, and it's worth reading.
But that's my point. Yeah. Now that he agrees with you, it's worth reading.
Gabe from...
I just want to summarize. The defense is getting better?
No. He said that schematically it's improving.
What does that mean?
Well, they're doing.
I just like how a guy who has no idea what the scheme is tells me schematically they're getting better.
He broke down certain plays that, you know, and said that, you know, even if they had done it a little differently, they probably still would have had trouble because it was just really well executed by the Reds. You know, he broke down certain things. Just read it and you'll see.
I don't understand.
I actually like
the point.
I like Greg's read on Wednesday. I don't necessarily take all of the analysis as Bible, because I don't think that someone outside can do that. He tells me, you know, he grades the offensive linemen on their run, you know, how many run stuffs they allow and stuff. There are things that he doesn't know what the scheme is. And this is no disrespect to Greg, because
he's a friend of the show.
No, he's an attempt.
He's a great friend of the show, and he puts a lot of work into that.
Yeah.
But my point is, he can't possibly know what the assignment was on every play that he assigns a grade to. And that's why I don't like the Pro Football Focus for the same reason. I don't think that can be done by a non-coach.
I don't even care. How can you say the scheme is getting better? Like, I don't understand the concept.
I think his point is they didn't have breakdowns where they weren't. Everybody was where they were supposed to be, but they beat them with better execution.
So
I think.
When
I
the guy was wide open in the back of the end zone,
good point.
That wasn't a breakdown?
He didn't talk about that point.
I just think your scheme is not getting better when you're giving up 470 yards and hanging on by the skin of your teeth for a bad pass interference call to lose. Like, you gave up 27 points. You should have given up 34.
I think maybe the point then is you could change the scheme, but the result would be the same because of who's out there.
So now he's arguing he's got a Paul Perillo fight going on. I haven't heard anybody say the scheme sucks. I've heard everybody say you can't win with James Ahedebo and Antoine Molden.
Why is that a Paul Perillo thing?
Arguing with an argument that's not there.
Oh.
Fighting with somebody.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah. I've done that.
No, but are people arguing that the issues on this team are schematic? That the scheme is terrible? Because I haven't heard that once.
No, that's a good point.
So this read that you said is great doesn't sound so great
just
to me.
Just read it. Gabe from Tucson says, last night I was...
I mean, who said the
all
scheme
right,
was a problem?
We gotta get to the emails, all right? We gotta hurry. Gabe from Tucson says, last night I was watching ESPN First Take and they compared Gronk to Witten. And the answer shocked me because all of them disagreed with Andy. Who does that? They all said Gronk is on a different level than Witten has ever been. They go on to say that if Witten was on the Patriots, he would not be doing the same thing Gronk is doing right now. I have to agree with them. Anyway,
ridiculous.
Tim Tebow scares me because there is always something unexplainable that happens when he plays against you. Tim Tebow against this D, start praying.
But
I don't believe that. I'm going to go right out and say it. I don't believe that happened.
What?
That's too convenient to me. Why would the ESPN guys be talking about Rob Gronkowski and Jason Witten? There's 97 top-flight tight ends in football. They picked the one guy that Andy Hart has been saying?
No, Witten's the best. That's why.
But
what was that?
But is he?
What was that?
The game right now?
I mean, that's just a guy that Andy happened to compare him to. No, Jimmy Graham?
Well, Jimmy Graham is new on the scene, and he might be better
Gronk
than both of them. But, you know.
Him and Gronk are both new on the scene.
You know, I wanted to draft both of them.
The reason why they were talking about Gronk is because he just beat the
tight end record. The comparison to me for Gronk is Graham. They're both second-year guys, athletic guys, making all these catches, bursting onto the scene. Why would you compare them to an old guy?
The well-rounded part.
For the same reason
the
we
old
did.
Guy. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it.
Paul calling BS. What was the rest of that email?
The Tebow thing.
I disagree because Tebow doesn't win conventionally. So conventional wisdom is if you're going to beat the Patriots, he's going to have this great passing game. I don't think that'll happen. That's not how he wins. It'll be totally inexplicable, just like the other seven games have been.
Well, Tim Jackson said a couple nights ago, he goes, I know something crazy is going to happen, like the horse is going to come out and knock something over.
Right. And Brady will, you know, overdose on his pregame smelling salts, and Hoyer will have to play, and then Ben Jarvis will fumble, and they'll win 13-10.
See, and I even think that a lot of this stuff is again, this is not Tebow's fault. This is our fault. I think a lot of this stuff is being overblown. Like, somehow these things, you know, we've never seen guys come back from two scores down in the fourth quarter. Last game against Chicago, there was some crazy, wild, wacky stuff, to use, you know, the old Johnny Carson thing, with Marion Barber running out of bounds and fumbling for no apparent reason. Okay? That didn't happen in all the other games. There weren't crazy, wild things that happened. The reason the game was close...
San Diego made some bonehead moves.
They missed a field goal. Yeah. That happens a lot. Guys miss field goals sometimes. And they missed. But my point is, it wasn't like this divine intervention every game.
No, but Paul, but you look at the Jets game. For all game, they shut down Denver.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
and you've never seen something like that?
Not
weekend. You've never seen teams, you know, have a lead at the end of the game, and instead of sticking what they did the whole game, they changed.
But this is
for some reason they went with six defensive backs. That's on
Rex
Ryan.
Exactly. For some reason.
But that happens every single week in the NFL.
But
I don't think a guy
week.
Goes 0 for 11 and then gets hot every week.
No. But that's not my point. My point is, what was the play in that game that was like, my God, they have God on their side?
I don't know.
Like Marion Barber running out of bounds when all they had to do was kneel on the ball. That's David Patton going unconscious, you know, with the ball touching him out of bounds in Buffalo. That's a play that's going to happen once a season that you have no explanation for. God was on your side.
But I think a guy going 0 for 11 and then going 18 for 20 is borderline. How does he go from being so bad to so good?
Because you change what you're doing defensively, and you sit back and you let him do it.
And God isn't always blamed.
And three or four teams have done that.
Sometimes he works in mysterious ways.
But three or four teams have done that to him. They've changed how they've played. Instead of rushing five, they drop back, and he takes the underneath stuff and takes what they're giving him.
More importantly, doesn't Kyle Arrington have 7 interceptions?
Yes.
Why? Who are you yelling at? On Twitter.
Chargers PR guy.
Oh, okay.
He tweets out, Eric Weddle leads NFL with 7 interceptions. No, he doesn't.
Well, he's one of the
seven
leaders.
Tied.
7's the leader, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't lead. If you don't say he's tied, it makes it sound like he just leads the NFL in interceptions.
Dave in Jacksonville, Vermont. I have to take the side of the refs in the Washington game. They have spent half the season listening to you media rant and rave about missed calls. Every play on the field, there are violations and fouls, and with the amount of cameras on the field, the media points out every one of them in slow motion. The coaches on the sidelines scream on every play about fouls. The refs watch the game after and see all the missed calls and mistakes. Of course, after listening to and seeing, if for half the season they are going to call the game different, and when they do, the media points out that there are too many calls. If they were to stop making so many calls, it would be pointed out how many calls they missed. Just saying, there are times that you would just let the refs control the game and not go off on every play and every call. I think we would get back to real football where human error is allowed to be part of it.
Human error is allowed to be part of it every week. I see it every week.
I understand that theory in general, but when games come down to calls, that's a little bit different. I mean, I think you can have the call that they missed on Andre Carter, which they just showed on NFL Network. It happened in the middle of the game. You know, it was a bad call, I thought.
Nate.
But, you know, to me it's different than when the game's getting decided by touchdowns getting taken off the board in the last 30 seconds.
Nate writes in, look, there is nothing magical about Tebow. And Nate's from Idaho, by the way. The power of positive thinking isn't a new phenomenon. We are all, to a large degree, self-fulfilling prophecies. If we tell ourselves we suck, then chances are good we won't perform well in life. Remember Stuart Smalley skit in Saturday Night Live? The guy that would rattle off a series of positive self-affirmations, including his consistent conclusion, and gosh darn it, people like me. Tebow is succeeding to the level he is right now for three major reasons. One, the
luck.
Power of positive thinking. Two,
luck.
He's got his teammates doing the same thing. And three,
luck.
He is enjoying a tremendous amount of luck at the football casino. We all know that
I'm on board with that whole thing.
We all know that any given Sunday, the ball can bounce in mysterious ways. Look at the last six games of the Patriots' 07 season or the 01 season. We had a tremendous amount of good luck that contributed to our success those seasons. Bottom line, Tebow is not a long-term NFL quarterback. In my opinion, he makes it a little further than week 5 next season before the city of Denver drastically turns on him. He's a good kid, good heart, with exceptional athleticism, professionalism, and sportsmanship. But this is a short-lived moment in success as a starting QB, and I'm really looking forward to the Patriots shutting him up this weekend. To quote the great Will Ferrell in the movie Zoolander, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I think this is a soundbite you should regularly play anytime Tebow talk arises. Thank you for your hard work, long hours, extensive miles, and continued contagious energy.
Us or Tebow?
I think us.
That's interesting that we could have the same kind of contagious energy as Tebow, because we're nothing like Tebow.
And I'm always tired.
And we have no positive attitude.
Well, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I love this show. Can I tell you that? Especially, so is that a positive attitude?
Sure.
I think that's a positive
attitude. I don't
know.
When Tom Moore said he can't stand negative attitudes, and it said, I hate it, it drives me nuts. Isn't that a negative attitude about negative attitudes?
Well, it's
attitudes?
Like the guy that goes to anger management, but he had to leave because it pissed him off.
Right.
I got sidetracked.
Quick quiz while you're thinking.
Go ahead.
Who is this quarterback? Name the quarterback.
Tim Tebow.
Rookie year, 8-5 as a starter.
These.
Of the wins, four of them were fourth quarter comebacks, including three straight fourth quarter comebacks. His passer rating was 66.7, which ranked 30th of 31 qualified quarterbacks in the NFL that season. Who was the quarterback?
I'll go Vince Young.
You're right, Paul. Vince Young. I think that
I remember the. I didn't see the email because I don't get those anymore. The web radios don't come to my email box.
I didn't
anymore.
Say that.
You two have had more fights today.
He's fighting with me. I haven't even started.
Oh,
anything.
You did it before.
He
opened us. I mean, you've both done it.
Thank you.
You both got a hair across your butts.
I have a hypothetical for you that Felger and Maz brought up yesterday.
You should have duct tape across your butt. Go ahead, Paul.
Now who's trying to fight?
Then it would come out the other end.
At least I wouldn't have to smell it.
If it came out my mouth, you don't think it would smell? If poop came out my mouth, it would stink.
All right.
You started it.
All right. Felger and Maz brought up, I actually think it was the other guy, Beetle, that brought it up, but they got Felger to admit it. If you're Denver, okay, all right, he's the savior. And I just reminded me because the emailer said by week 5 next year, Denver will turn on him. The fans will turn on him.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the fans just love this kid. I don't think they're going to turn on
him. I'm not
sure
they would have turned on Vince Young had he not turned into a whack job.
Right. Now, hypothetically, what would you do if you had the first pick of the draft? If you were Denver?
This year?
Yeah.
I would take a
quarterback. 2012, would you take Luck?
Oh, sure.
Or whoever you thought was the can't-miss kid?
Yes.
Well, I would certainly want people to think I would take him.
Forget that. I asked a simple question. He immediately has to take it somewhere else. Now, he has to go submit.
Now I have a legit quarterback, and I have Tebow as my H-back, as my jack-of-all-trades, as my leader.
Basically, my question is, are you convinced that he's your guy of the future? Can you win as much as you want to win long-term with him, or do you say, you know what, this has been a nice little thing. It salvaged the season for us. We got a bonus season out of this where we're probably going to make the playoffs. Is that good enough, or do I need to get better at quarterback? That's the question you're asking.
Well, another question
And Felger, who absolutely loves Tebow,
right.
admitted that he would take
But another question you're asking is, if we do commit to this guy and we are wrong, will the fans forgive us? And I think the answer to that is yes. So you can take a risk on that guy, and if he's a bust, fans are like, you know what, we would have done the same thing. Let's move on from there.
Do you really do these things with the fans in mind?
Because
that's a bad way to run your team.
No, I know it is, but you have to think about that. You know,
wow.
If the upside of this, if we win with this guy, oh my God, we're gonna have the biggest fan base ever. What happens when we lose? And you have to answer that question too. And I don't think that fans would be so pissed off if they lost with Tim Tebow. In Denver.
Yeah, I don't really understand why the fans' reaction plays into it. I wouldn't play into it.
Well, at the end
me.
Of the day, they're the ones paying your salary. You know, if they think that you did the wrong thing and they desert you, you're in trouble. But if they think if you did the wrong thing and they stick by you because, you know what, Dosh Garnett, we would have done the same thing, and then you move on from there, okay, you have a little leeway to work with.
So you think if he stinks, they'll be okay?
Well, it depends on how long they make a move after he starts stinking. But I'm, you know.
I don't. I just think you've got to make the right moves. You're trying to win games.
Well,
you win games and you get fans.
But I think there's a lot of people who think that sticking with Tim Tebow was the right move.
No, it's a hard one because you know that there's a lot of pressure there to play this kid. We already saw that at the beginning of this season. But I just would wonder if you look at it, if you John Elway and John Fox,
all right, let's
sit there and say, okay. I don't know how much longer I can keep winning games.
It's a good one. Let's put it another way. Okay, let's just say Denver ends up, 9-7 or whatever. Okay, they're 8-5 now.
Yeah.
They end up 9-7. So they sit down, John Elway and whoever the GM is there, I forget his name, in Bolin, and they say, okay, what are we going to do?
This one's for Tim.
You know, where we're drafting, there's this quarterback. I don't know who's a good mid-round quarterback this year. What's his name? Barkley? Where will he go?
First round.
Are you
talking about a first-round pick or like
that
a fifth
round? That the Broncos would have a shot at this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a good quarterback
Griffin.
Class.
Yeah, okay.
Robert Griffin, Matt Barkley.
Everybody's ready to start.
Some people even talk about the kid from Texas A&M who I'm not sold on, Tannehill.
For the sake of this argument, let's say that where Denver is picking, they have a shot at a good quarterback, and they believe that he is a good quarterback. You know, they take him, okay? Now what do you do with him? You know, do you start Tebow until this guy's ready and then replace Tebow? What happens if
which would be the third quarter of the first game when he's 3-17?
No, but what happens if Tebow has a season next year like he has this year?
You replace him because he stinks.
No,
because I'd look at my team and say,
now you've got a real nightmare on your hand. You're taking out a winning quarterback, you know, and now the people.
I feel
really
like I'm taking out a guy who's hindering me because if it weren't for. I have a defense. I have a running game that's doing this. If I put a real quarterback in there, we won't need miracles in the fourth quarter.
But my point is, if you draft a guy in the first round, you're kind of hoping now that Tebow starts sucking so you can get this guy in there. And that's a bad way to run your team, too.
Yeah.
Unless Jacksonville wants Tebow and you can get, you know, a ransom for him, then by all means do it. You know, because that in the long term is better for your organization. I say, okay, Jacksonville's going to give you their first round, which is going to be a high pick, and you know, maybe something else. And okay, now I do it. I draft Barkley or I draft Griffin. Good, we're golden. I don't think the fans can, anyone can, you know, get on you for that.
Like I said, it just all comes about what you think that Tim Tebow is. And I could certainly understand if John Elway and John Fox say, this has been great, but there's no way we can keep doing this. We got to make a change. And we have an opportunity to. Now, I'm not saying that you go out of your way to move up.
But don't you have to wait until he fails to do that?
No.
Okay, see, that's where I think you run into trouble.
Because I think he's already failed. I don't care about the wins and losses. I know that's all that you look at, you know, but...
I thought yours was the one loss.
Well, see, that's the irony of this whole thing with Andy is, and he knows it. That's why he says it all the time. You know, the Paul Perillo win-based formula. I am the king of the team that wins isn't necessarily the better team all the time. I mean, there are Super Bowl champs.
Yeah,
that
he's
weren't...
clamoring for the Packers to overtake the Texans in the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Yeah, I do. My eyeballs tell me that, not the record.
Ah!
But it's not just about winning, you know, all the wins in life. It's how you get there sometimes, and I just don't think you can consistently win doing it the way they've done it.
I think that, you know, believe it or not, you know, I'll step back from my Tebow mania. I think that John Elway and the Broncos, they're in a pickle. I think they're in a PR pickle right now.
I agree with that.
You know?
I agree with that.
They are, but...
I just wouldn't care about the PR.
As fervent as these people were putting up billboards before he started playing?
Yeah, that
wouldn't bother
me.
Can you imagine how solidified that base is now? I mean, oh my God, until he fails, you can't touch that guy.
And if I'm John Fox, I say, you know what? I can't afford to wait around for the 2 years when he fails, and then I'm out of a job, and that's my last job.
I'm telling you.
You only get two cracks.
They are in a tough situation now, and they know it.
The other issue is I don't really think Elway deserved the job he got.
I don't think he should have taken that job.
So, I have no idea what kind of qualifications he had. I don't know if he's always been that kind of a guy.
But I don't think that matters. I mean,
but he's not really calling the shots, believe it or not, on the team. There's another guy.
He certainly makes it sound
like he is. The personnel.
Sanders?
Yeah, he makes the moves.
I don't think so.
Well, that's what I've been told.
Okay, well then Elway just flat out lies because he talks like he makes all the decisions.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I don't think, from the moment, you know how big a fan of Elway I am.
Yes.
From the moment that was announced, I said, uh-oh, here's where he tarnishes his image.
Well, his image is already tarnished.
Why?
Everything he's ever done. not wanting to play in Indy, divorcing his wife, being a drunk. I mean, all these things.
Is he a drunk?
He's a drunk?
I think so, isn't he?
Just because he sold cars?
And Coors Light?
I was so much of an Elway fan, I was going to buy a car from his lot and have it shipped here.
Please tell me you're lying.
No, I'm not. Just to say I bought a car from John Elway.
I didn't know he had an alcohol thing, though.
That may not
Are
be
you
right.
spreading rumors?
He looks like it.
Oh, see, now that's ridiculous.
I thought I'd heard it. And I may have heard it, but it could have come from somebody like Borges.
Or you. Or you.
Oh, my goodness. TG and NJ.
Classic stuff.
Every time Paulie says the Pats are going to win going away, they don't. It turns out to be either a loss or a close game. Sorry, Paulie. There will be no more going away games, not with this team.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate.
I see no reason to not believe that the Pats will dominate the first three quarters, then have Tebow Mania rear its blessed head in the fourth. What are the chances on the Pats secondary giving Tebow his best passer numbers to date? If the Pats do have a lead going to the fourth, can they run the ball well enough to keep the blessed one off the field? Pats can win if they believe they can win. Oh, you know, that is just ridiculous. And he's got his knee up by his head when he does it.
He can't wait.
You can't walk out into the hallway there and just do that?
No, if I did that every time, I'd never be on the show.
Oh, God.
No, yeah. I don't count on the running game.
I don't either. I thought the Patriots were going to blow out Kansas City. They did. I thought they were going to blow out Indianapolis. It was 31-3, and they let the game get closer, but I think that was a blowout, even though it was only 7 points.
One of those blowouts where if you don't recover the onside kick,
I said
38-3
in a game that they won 34-3. I mean, I don't think that every time I say they're going to win going away, they lose.
Why are you fighting with somebody? Did I miss it?
Yeah, you did because you were obviously pooping your pants.
Well, I was a little concerned.
The guy said every time I say they're going to win going away, he gets worried because they lose.
Oh.
But I mean,
every time you look up, he's fighting somebody.
The last
you,
two,
an
I
email,
reading,
or,
I,
a call.
The last,
honestly,
two, the last two times I picked him to win going away, they won.
Honestly, I was reading the email, so I wasn't paying attention. All I heard was, who are you arguing with? And then I start paying attention to Paul's, like, in this monologue.
Well, it's because he distracts the whole show because he thinks that people don't know that that's happening.
You can hear that over the mic.
No, they can't.
Are you kidding me?
I heard it. That means other people can hear it.
One complaint. Not one complaint have we ever gotten.
Yes, we did.
Because because
they think it's funny.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think
why would they complain? They're
they
not
only hear
to it,
you people say,
funny.
Oh, this is what he's doing. He lifted his leg.
Seriously, Kevin, why do you keep taking the spray?
Because he stinks in there.
Why would they complain?
Oh, actually, I know
they're
why.
Not subjected to you. Fred, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I can fight with you all day, but I'm still with you.
That's just uncouth.
Uncouth.
All right.
I actually really like the smell of that stuff.
Oh,
Bill,
you don't like it? The orange creamsicle?
No, I don't.
Bill and Beaver, it's just better than the other.
Yeah,
the alternative.
Better than the alternative.
I don't smell.
Bill and Beaver Creek.
Hey, where's my t-shirts? He promised me a really cool t-shirt once, and I never got it. Beaver Creek is where Tebow and
Lindsey Vaughn
got it on.
I sent Kevin an article link I found from SI about Tebow. The article claimed that his true QB rating was better than any quarterback he has faced and better than any QB in the league. Here is the link. I asked Kevin to forward it to you guys, but you know, good help was hard to find.
Isn't it in the fourth quarter?
Well, I see Kerry Byrne in the URL, so that means it came from
did,
Cold Hard Football Facts.
Yeah, but I think it's a fourth quarter thing. His true quarterback rating is the best in the league.
Maybe. I was just curious what you guys thought about how
now,
much
does that take into account running? Is that what this is? One of those ESPN total rating?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I thought I saw something over the week, and this is totally speculation. I thought I saw one of those full panels where they had his like overall numbers and he's like, you know, down the bottom, and then fourth quarter he's first.
Right.
But I almost don't care.
And his quarterback,
this gets back to JD Drew. Theo Epstein can tell me he's the greatest player in the world and worth every he's actually underpaid at $15 million.
Right.
No, he isn't. He sucks. So you get all your numbers together, he sucks.
The true quarterback is that ESPN number.
Right, they have a new one.
You know, and he was
sort
almost
of like the Wilson Hart.
It's almost perfect.
Which, no, but you know the
like
big difference?
Fourth quarter, it's almost perfect.
The big difference is some people that are very important, very knowledgeable, future Hall of Famers.
Gave it to you.
Think the Wilson Hart Power Index is
gave
interesting.
Gave it to you.
They think that total quarterback one is crap.
Living in Bronco country, the article keeps getting thrown in my face, and at this point, the only real defense I have is when you only throw 7 times a game and complete 2 of them, and one of those is for TD, of course your rating's going to be high. So either help me with a good argument here or send Paul out here to get on top of them and beat the crap out of them.
There's a mistake on that.
Is it women that want to fight?
No, that has Brady as having won Super Bowl 35. He didn't play in it. Right. It was 36.
See, now he's even winning Super Bowls he doesn't play in.
Yeah. Evidently, Patriots fans have put together that.
Well, there are a lot of them down there. Espen.
Espen the magazine?
Zach from Middletown has some...
Not Syracuse?
Very interesting tweets about Tim Tebow. And he pulled these off, of course, Twitter. Tim Tebow, most talked about white Bronco since OJ. I think someone needs to tell him, Tebow, that world hunger and cancer are ahead by 13 and there's only 3 minutes left. That's a good one. Imagine how good Tim Tebow would be if these games took place on water. That's good. The Bronco. I got to make sure there's no dirty ones before I read them.
I just like that you said these tweets from Tim Tebow, which of course were taken from Twitter. Where else would tweets come from?
The Broncos won't be playing on Christmas because Tim Tebow has a birthday party he needs to attend.
He'll be banging Lindsey Vonn.
That's another rumor that you don't know is true.
Yeah, but I didn't start that one.
That was on Deadspin.
I know, and I read it this morning, and I've seen it nowhere else.
Well,
and they haven't. Usually when they get more information, they add to it.
You know she addressed it, right?
Yeah.
She wrote about it.
And she said that they're just friends of the family.
Right,
so.
And Tiger said they're just cocktail waitresses.
No, I know. I've been fooled.
And Lance Armstrong said, no, I didn't take steroids.
I'm not
steroids.
Sure
I'm
Tiger
not
said they were just cocktail
I'm sure he lied at some point.
But well, to his wife, but then when he got in the accident, he got in trouble. I think that was it.
Because it was out there. It was fact.
Right. So I don't think he ever lied about it.
Oh, I do.
Not publicly.
Well, not publicly, because
no one knew about it.
That's my point.
Right.
But he lied about it to the people around him. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, he was living a lie.
Right.
He was living a lie.
Like Tebow.
You don't know that. And that's not fair
to
say.
So ridiculous.
He's actually
making me into a Tebow fan.
You know,
and I can't stand
it. You're on the internets right now. You got to be careful.
So?
I would love.
Is the internets about truth? Because I read that
justice
on the internet.
In the American way?
On the internet, it said that Lindsey Vonn is breaking up her marriage because of Tim Tebow.
It should be.
This is the most confrontational show we've ever had.
Well,
we're just taking turns.
It's Tim Tebow week. It's great.
He is a polarizing, controversial figure. I knew it was going to be fun.
Continuing, there's not too many more of these. I would love it if they play Tim Tebow's Wired and all the guy unleashes in the huddle are Barbarada. Oh, I guess he's talking Latin. I don't know.
We need Eric. Is he going to be?
Yeah, we need Eric here. I wonder where Tim Tebow hides his superhero chastity belt. If he gets laid, the Broncos are so screwed. The only way to beat Tim Tebow is to play him on a Thursday or Monday. You don't stand a chance on the Lord's Day. Remember when Tim Tebow kicked 2 50-plus-yard field goals to beat the Bears? That was epic.
All right, can you move on?
One more. Wait, so Tim Tebow was... 3 of 16 in the first half. 3-16. Oh, this just gets better and better.
Is that Austin 3-16?
That's that one.
Yeah. How about Anthony in Naples? He's always good for a laugh.
Why is he on the line?
Well, according to the call screen.
All right, let's go to Anthony. Hey, Anthony.
Oh, geez, you just pointed out there, Paul, that I was being ignored by Fred, huh?
I did.
You were only in the line for like 6 minutes.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that.
And he had those scintillating tweets to read.
Yes. You know what, Andy? I don't know what to think. You know, with the whole Tebow thing, I just don't understand why you hate the guy that much. Where you're just like, all right, can't do this, can't do that.
Right.
Here's the thing, Andy.
Yes.
Was Drew Brees when he first got into the league?
Yes. He was a very accurate pass. I mean, he had all the skills.
But he got because of his shoulder, he got traded away. But come on, he was
right. But he was
but he
good.
Got hurt.
He was good. Got hurt, was a free agent, only a couple teams wanted him. Then he got with great players and a great offensive mind named Sean Payton, and you put it all together. But he had the skills. He was a very productive passer with the Chargers.
Okay, he was productive, but my greater point is he improved. He's not he didn't start out the Drew Brees that he is now.
No, but he always could throw the football. He always had the ability to throw the football. He had normal mechanics, a quick release, and good accuracy. None of those three things Tim Tebow possesses.
Anthony, hold on for 1 second. I just want to tell a quick story. The offseason, I think it was before 06, I think I have the timeline right. Miami, if you recall, had Nick Saban, and they needed a quarterback.
Well, they passed on him.
And they went with Dante Culpepper instead of Drew Brees. Remember, they originally had Brees in. They were going to sign Brees. And they thought he wanted too much money, and they went with Culpepper. That was met, and I can tell you this for a fact, with an absolute celebration here in Foxborough by the coaching staff.
Oh, no, no. I listen.
And that was before Drew Brees was, quote, Drew Brees.
No, but my point is just, you know, sometimes it annoys me about, like, certain quarterbacks. You know, sometimes guys just do suck, and they will never, like, accomplish anything. But the thing is, you just can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know what I mean, because you just don't think it's any good. I just think if you give Tim Tebow if you just actually coach the guy and actually – you know, dedicate a little bit to him, he's going to work hard enough to try to improve himself.
So Urban Meyer never coached him. He's a dog of a coach.
He didn't have to.
I don't think Urban Meyer really tried.
Okay.
Urban Meyer was just
the... He said he tried, but...
Will you let me finish?
No.
Okay.
That's what he does.
I know, exactly.
He's very mean.
So I can win my argument. I'm just going to yell over you.
Right. Well, I win my argument
because you
don't have a good argument. Because since high school, college, and pros, they've tried to change it.
That's why, fathead.
But
good, Anthony.
Okay, go on with your useless argument.
Not dedicate himself to training Tebow. All he had to do. Everybody's wide open in college. You don't have to really tweak with the mechanics to do anything. You know what I mean? Especially when you're Florida, when you have first round talent all the way around. Come on. He didn't have to dedicate it. That wasn't his job. It wasn't Urban Meyer's job to fix Tim Tebow. He knew that he could just win with the basic mechanics that he had, because then also he can run the freaking ball. He was playing a college style type offense.
And Anthony's from Florida. You need to listen.
Well, I didn't know we just called Urban Meyer a liar.
Oh, I'm calling him a liar. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. I tend to take people at their word.
Oh, so why don't you take Tim Tebow at his word then? And why are you waiting
for the scandal?
Which word is that?
The word of God.
You're saying you're waiting for the scandal. You're not taking him.
I don't have to wait anymore. It came out yesterday morning on the internet.
No, a rumor.
A rumor. Yeah. Because
Anthony,
you're right, Anthony.
Let's get back to the facts. The fact is he tried for months to fix his mechanics before the combine and couldn't. And then he tried last year for months with Josh McDaniels, who's supposedly a young guru of quarterbacks, right? And he couldn't. He tried to fix them when he first got to Florida, and he couldn't.
I don't care about the mechanics. I really don't.
Well, then why'd you start talking about it?
No,
you brought it up, not me.
No, I'm trying to tell you that Urban Meyer, I don't think he really tried all that hard. I think maybe he tried for a month, and he was like, F it. You know what? We'll go back to the old way. That's really, I think, what he tried to do. But anyways, my point is, if he can become more accurate, he can start reading defenses and just get accustomed to it. He might have a chance. I'm not saying he's going to be freaking Dan Marino here.
If you want to put all your eggs in the year 12 jump and do things he didn't do in high school, he didn't do in college, didn't do for the combine, and didn't do in his first 2 years in the NFL, that's fine. I'm not going to. I tend to be like Bill Belichick. I give you a little bit of time and then I cut bait with you. I can't just wait around for decades.
Well, you're not. I'm not. Oh my God! You don't get the greater point, do you? You're over here saying like, okay, we're going to dedicate 10 years to him, and we're not even going to look the other way if there's another quarterback that's available. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, he's already 10 years into his bad mechanics, so you're past 10 years. You're in the second decade of trying to fix it.
All I'm saying is that you have to give the kid a chance. Okay.
I don't have to. He's not on my team, and I wouldn't. I would do what Paul said. If I had a high draft pick, I'd take a real quarterback.
Absolutely, I would too.
What would you do if you had a draft pick and you could get any quarterback in the draft next year? What would you do?
Any quarterback, your pick of the litter. But it depends.
Yeah, but I might take Andrew Luck if Tom Brady was my quarterback.
Well, I certainly would, but Tom Brady's 35.
But you wouldn't if it was Aaron Rodgers.
I wouldn't if Tom Brady was 24.
Yeah, but I mean, I think I would admit right now that I think Andrew Luck's going to be a better NFL quarterback than Tim Tebow. I think I know that.
But I'm just asking, do you think you have a quarterback or not, is the larger point.
I think you do.
I think you're
then
full
then of it. Then you shouldn't take
Then
you shouldn't take Andrew Luck if you think you have a quarterback. Well, that's a waste. You don't need to.
You're always looking to upgrade.
You don't need to.
You know, we had Larry Cannon. We got rid of him. We got Ernie Zampezi. Always looking to upgrade.
What the hell is he talking about?
I've had too many arguments with him today. I got to let that one go.
I don't get it. I have to let it go because I don't get it.
They both sucked.
I know.
He was being ironic.
Henry writes in.
Hank!
From Whitefish, Montana.
You been there, Fred?
I think he's talking to me when he says, you're wrong on Tebow. Maybe Paul, too. I think he is trying to say that Jesus is on his side. They don't show him praying each time he throws three incomplete passes and the team goes three and out. They only show him praying and pointing to the sky after game-winning drives. Look, religion and football have been tied together for a long time. It's a dangerous game, and finishing with everyone healthy is something worth praying for. I have never had a problem with the mixed group praying in the field after the game. I think it's appropriate. But Tebow is over the top. SportsCenter routinely shows three plays he makes in 8 seconds of prayer footage. He can thank God in his head, standing on the sideline without that ridiculous pose. I think he's embarrassing Christians and needs to tone it down. In fact, I think he has toned it down. If you watch the difference between the beginning of this six-game streak and the last couple of games, I'm guessing he's just trying to be less polarizing, but hopefully he's hearing from the other Christians that he's over the top.
Yeah, see, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think that at all. It's not his fault that they're showing 8 seconds.
Right.
He's not doing – I don't really –
He doesn't
really,
wait for the
really
camera,
don't
to be
think
honest.
That he's doing it as a grandstanding measure.
What?
I don't think he prays after a play because he wants the cameras to show him.
Oh, I do. I think he does it to be seen.
I get what you're feeling on that. I don't. I don't think it's like that. I think that's what he does. I think he would do that at home. I think that's what he does.
Now I just got a funny image of a commercial of him putting his underwear on and then Tebow.
I just think that he...
Lord, thank you for letting me put my underwear on one leg at a time.
You know, Fred, you made that comment, you know, about 8 weeks ago when we first started this argument, and I agree with you on it. I think that he is very authentic.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for a pose. I don't think that he is pretending to be a God-fearing man.
I don't think he is. Breaking up marriages.
Eric's here.
I'd like to ask Andy and all of those others out there who mock Tebow for his religion, if they would.
Oh, no, I don't mock him for his religion.
No. Well, yeah, you
do sometimes. He just doesn't believe that it's genuine.
All right. Well,
he's not mocking him, though.
Right.
I believe it's genuine, but I think he also does it for show because I think 90%, as I said, 90% of the players in those locker room, I think, are very good Christians. You know, Thursday night Bible study, Saturday night on the road in the chapel, all that stuff.
But that's not my question, but he comes from a family of
missionaries.
That's, mm-hmm. that's what he grew up with, to spreading what right. they believe is their gospel. Now, my question to you is, if he were a devout Muslim who was building madrasas all over the place instead of hospitals, and was going around saying Allahu Akbar after every touchdown and was praying 5 times a day, no matter if he was at practice or not, would you be making fun of him then for his religion?
No. I would be making fun of him for everything I hate him about.
No, but I'll tell you why.
Yes,
I'll tell you what the difference is.
Okay, maybe you
and
would
no
be.
One
else, all these frauds who are supporting him would also be making fun
now,
of him.
See, I think the big difference is they wouldn't be showing him. I think it's this.
They wouldn't be showing him because
it gets back to my original point.
Is my point.
But it gets back to my point. Don't blame Tebow because you have to see him praying all the time. Blame the people that continue to show you
right.
him praying all
right.
the time.
And that's my
he's going to do that whether the camera's on
right.
or not,
and that's,
in my
that's
opinion.
His, yeah.
And if he was a Muslim like Eric's hypothetical, I don't think the Disney cameras would be in his face 24/7.
And that's my point, Paul, is that all these people who are drawing attention and mocking him for his religion are hypocrites because they wouldn't be doing it if he were A, Muslim, or B,
no,
Jewish.
No, they call him a terrorist.
No, they wouldn't be doing that at all. They would be scared to death to do anything to mention his religion.
Well, you know me.
if he was anything but a Christian. So that's where I find the hypocrisy in all
no,
this.
No, and you're going from that Fox story. But I think that's unfair, too, because I think as many people would be saying, don't show that Muslim.
Oh, yeah, but people aren't saying...
Right, but they wouldn't be making fun of him for his religion.
Right, but making fun of him and being mad is different. You know, they would be like, don't show that on TV.
All the people that are supporting him now would actually be mad, all the Christians.
Right, they'd be like, he's a terrorist.
All those frauds.
You know, so it goes either way. I think religion is polarizing because there is no gray area. You either believe or you don't believe. And
you either believe
you like,
or
you started
like,
preaching or
something
like Ray Lewis there
but,
for a second.
But that's
in front of the millions.
But that's the fact.
And millions.
And for some people who devoutly don't believe, they find it offensive.
I don't find it offensive.
And for people who devoutly...
Tim Tebow offends me. Religion
and
does not.
And for people who devoutly do believe, they get offended when people criticize them. So there's no... That's why you don't argue religion, because there is no persuading people.
Right. He's not arguing anything, though.
No, I'm not talking about Tim Tebow.
Well, he is kind of. He's fighting a fight
no.
that doesn't exist.
I'm talking
he's
about
trying to convert people. He's trying to build followers.
No, he's not.
And by nature, those
no,
people aren't followers
no,
already.
No. See, you're wrong. You're wrong.
What? Isn't that what a missionary does?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they don't do that on the football field. He's not a missionary.
Wait,
on the
you don't think he's doing that thinking he is helping to promote the cause?
I think he absolutely is doing that.
Thank you, Eric.
thank you to bring reason to this show of unreasonable people.
I think
people.
He's just thanking God.
I think that I think he thinks of football as a
platform.
It's a platform.
Yeah. It's a platform. It's certainly a platform.
But you're saying that he wouldn't be doing it if he wasn't playing football.
I think it's genuine.
You don't.
I think if he
that's
was
the
a
only, that's the philosophical
difference
we have.
I think if he was a software engineer and
he'd be doing the same thing.
Thank God.
I think if he had to give a presentation in a boardroom, he would start off by saying something about Jesus Christ. I think he's authentic. That's all.
It doesn't matter where he is.
And the reason I think that
I hate him even more. I think that's utterly inappropriate.
As I said before, he comes from a family like his parents weren't pro football players, but they were out spreading the gospel.
Right.
So if he weren't,
so I think if he was doing something else, he'd be doing this.
But there's a difference between doing it as your job and doing it within your job. That's two different things. If they're missionaries and they want to just go out in the world and try to convert people and go door to door, go to Africa, do whatever they want to do, I can respect that.
The thing
I can't respect jamming it down people's throats where they can't choose to hide on the couch and not answer the doorbell.
Whoa.
I don't think
you're talking about Jehovah's Witness.
So wait a minute. Yeah. So could I start every PFW in progress with, I just want to thank the Lord today in allowing us to be here on this wonderful program and spread the word of God.
If you wanted to.
Would not let me. That's ridiculous.
You think Fred wouldn't let you?
I don't think he'd let me. I think we would hear complaints from listeners, and that would get to the front office, and then they wouldn't allow it.
Just like Tim Tebow's getting complaints.
Right, but they're still allowing it.
Well, I don't think you would be disallowed.
I think I would be.
I think you could do that.
If you just did it here, I wonder, well, why is he just doing it on this radio show? But if that's who you are, I hired you, you've been that way all along, why would I stop you? That's who you are.
So.
If you just
Because I think we rightfully would get complaints that would go to the front office, and Robert would say, do you really start every show thanking God and trying to convert people to Christianity?
I would say, no, we don't. Andy, you know, because of who he is, feels like doing that.
And you don't think he'd go, no. Stop.
No, I don't think he would.
I don't either.
Well, I think he should.
Why?
That's where we're different.
That's who you are. The show isn't doing that.
That has nothing to... My professional job is not about me promoting Christianity on this show. And if that's what I want to do, I think you have every right to say, your job here is to talk football and entertain.
Your religion is
You're
being...
You're fired if you keep doing that. And if I choose to say... Well, I'm sorry, Fred. That's just who I am. I'm out.
Your religion is being a jerk. I allow you to do that on every show.
See, we're having a serious discussion here, and he has to take it to a different level.
Good, levity. Fred.
You gotta do that.
Fred's been on fire.
Have you? Has it been a good show for you?
He's been taking turns just...
Like, where else is this okay? Where else is this okay? Where do we see this?
What do you mean?
Like he says if he was an engineer and he did a presentation... Have you ever seen that? You've been in the business world for 25 years.
Yes, I have seen it.
But I didn't ask you.
No,
but,
I have.
But here's
where
the Herald. There was people that were I don't want to be disrespectful. But we used to call them like Bible thumpers and.
But what? Born again
Christians.
How
they couldn't get a conversation in without saying something about the Lord.
Right. I've worked with people like that.
No. That's personal. I'm saying you worked at Channel 12 or whatever little rinky-dink station and hired you. You start a news. You're the anchor. And you start the newscast
with... That is absolutely different.
That is absolutely different.
Because you're there doing a job. You're reading off a teleprompter.
Oh, wait. His job is to promote the Lord?
He is not delivering the news, for crying out loud. That's a bad analogy.
That's a bad analogy. There's plenty of people that in their public lives are Bible thumpers. I've had people that I've met. He wasn't making an analogy.
He was just telling me what happened.
The job at the Boston Herald...
Right.
No.
Now he's arguing with himself.
All right, I'll give you an example.
I'm saying within the job. That's not within the job of the Boston Herald is to put out a newspaper.
I'll give you an example.
Right,
Andy.
And if someone wrote something in their story, that would be different.
I will give you an example.
Tim Tebow's job on the field is
to play
football.
Speak after the game. He can say whatever he wants.
It's a free
country. But actually, he can't because everything is controlled by Roger Goodell.
Oh, come on, Andy. Right. Now you're adding something that's not true.
I agree with Eric. I think if he started it. No, I'm not, actually.
You're swinging.
So should I just tell you to shut up like you told me earlier when we were debating?
Now he's going crazy.
Well, I could just use your ways. I could just use your ways.
He wouldn't listen to me.
Was it?
He just wouldn't listen.
Kind of like you're not listening now.
He had to hit him.
Eric's right.
Did you hit him?
He just wouldn't listen.
A guy, his job is to write the news, and he inserts religion into what he's writing. That is not doing his job.
All right, I'll give you an example, Andy. I used to work in the radio station I first worked for. There were like four stations in the building, and one of the on-air talent was a born-again Christian.
Yes.
And he made no attempt to hide that fact when he was on the air.
For talk radio?
It was morning show.
Okay, I think that's different. Because talk radio, I think they do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's this industry. These whack jobs promote a certain...
But that's okay, I think.
It was like a morning show type thing.
I think that's inappropriate.
It was a little different than
I think that's kind of inappropriate.
But I think that Yeah, see, I
and he would do that around the station.
I wouldn't
too.
Listen to it because I.
But that I think is fine because that is that's when you're at work. If you're not actually doing the job, that's just a personal environment. That's people interacting on a personal level. To me, that's the part of the missionary. If you can try to convert a coworker, you've done your job. I mean, I think that's part of the faith and everything. But I think Eric's right. If he were Muslim and he did all this stuff and whatever Eric said he would say, I don't know what he would be saying and doing. But if he did all this, I think somebody would say, you can't do that. You're offending a large portion of our customers because, you know, we're 60%
Christians.
No,
Eric's saying they wouldn't say it.
No.
See, I think John Elway would go to him and say, you got to tone that down. Most of our customers are Christians. You're offending people.
I agree
people.
With you, Andy.
Oh, wait a minute. Internally in the Broncos, that might be they a different story. I'm talking about his critics outside the organization. All the people who in the media, fans, people who like to make fun of Tebow and, you know, call him the Messiah and the God complex and all this stuff. They wouldn't be saying that if he were referring to Allah.
I don't think they'd get the chance to because I think it'd get squished. I think it'd get squished in college.
They wouldn't allow him to do it.
This would have been squashed a long time ago because only Christianity can do this.
He could turn right around and say freedom of expression.
And he could.
Freedom of religion.
Absolutely.
I'm in the United States.
They have the freedom to cut him because now you're cutting
into the business. Not if he's winning games, though. They wouldn't be doing that.
I think it would be taken care of before that level. That's the issue I have.
And I actually think, you know, and I don't know all the press conference terminology that these guys use all the time, but how many NBA players have converted? To Muslim.
A lot.
A lot, sure.
Yeah.
They don't get cut for it.
I mean, no, but,
I
they're
think
no,
but they're not going around. They're allowed to do it.
Yeah, but they're not at the level of Tebow as far as celebrity.
No, but
they're
saying,
also
not. I'm not discrediting your point about no people would be afraid to sort of broach that, and they're not with Christianity. But what I'm saying is this whole thing being squashed, I'm not sure it would be squashed.
Oh, I think it would be.
I'm not sure it would be.
It wouldn't get anywhere near the legs, and it would be squashed internally. They probably couldn't say, you know, you can't possibly do it,
and
but they would wait.
That's why
I'm not sure it would happen. Am I putting this guy out there every week? Is it worth it to have this player with this skills and this side issue that I'm going to have to now deal with?
There would certainly be people who would be offended.
Yep.
And there would certainly be people internally who would try to get him to tone it down. But there would be nobody who would make fun of him for being a Muslim. Nobody would do that.
Yeah,
I think no one would do that.
Like I said, they wouldn't do that. They'd call him a terrorist.
Right, that's not making fun.
Okay, well, yeah, I'd rather be made fun of than called a terrorist.
What would you rather be called a... What was your old line, Paul?
I know what you're saying, because of the politically correct stuff.
As Paul likes to say, the only groups you can make fun of these days, the Italians and the Catholics. Yeah. I mean, he's not Catholic, but he's Christian.
Usually I say the Irish and the Italians.
Well, the Irish, well, whatever, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, what is he exactly?
He's a Baptist, I believe.
What happened in practice, Aaron?
That really faded out quickly.
Boy, that really de-escalated quickly.
Not good news for Patrick Chung. Not only can he not make it to the active roster on game days, now
been amputated.
Now he can't even practice.
He must have had a setback.
He's been practicing and not playing on Sundays. Now he's not at practice today.
He's also been hopping in the locker room on various days.
Yeah, and as
I didn't see him today. Did you guys see him?
No,
we have seen him pretty much every day in the locker room.
And I tweeted
for 3 weeks now.
And I tweeted out on Monday that he was in the locker room very briefly with a walking boot on, and we hadn't
saw that Eric.
We hadn't seen him in that. Yeah. This whole month or so that he's been with the problem. So there's obviously some either he had surgery or he hurt himself more. Something happened. He's taken a step back.
Has there been a report on the actual injury, like plantar fasciitis or like...
Liz Franck.
Yeah, Liz Franck.
Liz Franck.
The old... What was he?
I don't know.
French doctor.
No, she wrote a diary.
No, French diary of Liz Franck. You're such a moron. You really are.
He went to French. Just cut
the levity. He needs the levity.
Cut the tension.
Right, yeah, right. So Chung and Vollmer weren't at practice today. That's
Spikes?
The big news. Yeah, Spikes continues to be there.
Yep. They need Spikes this week.
They sure could use some Spikes.
Yeah.
They need NFL caliber. You know, and when I say NFL caliber, I mean you know, at a certain level of play, linebackers.
Interesting note with the practice players of the week. There was one player I guarantee you will not guess was given a practice player of the week.
Tom Brady.
No, that's a good guess, though. But
Chad Ochocinco.
No, another good guess.
Wes Welker.
Rob Gronkowski.
Tyquan Underwood.
Would you believe Zoltan Mesko?
Okay.
Was given a practice player of the week jersey.
How many times Redskins punt? What did he do?
He was doing Rex Grossman because he can't pass either.
Maybe he did the end around Brandon Bakes' left-handed throw, except, you know, they weren't prepared
word on the street is that he may have been involved in some defensive activity. during the week.
He must have looked so dorky because when he runs, he looks ridiculous.
He's playing the role of London Fletcher.
He has the old college football.
Well, he didn't
football.
Get to Brady fast enough.
So remember when we used to do the college football exaggerated, you know, squat
yeah,
under
that's
center?
What he does.
And then you roll out and you have the ball
right at your ear.
And your knees are going up to like your chin as you're running. That's Zoltan Mesko.
For real. That's how he really does it.
That's interesting.
The funnier part is watching Gostkowski imitate him
and make
doing
fun of
that.
Him. Yes. Yeah. I did talk to Gostkowski today briefly as he walked by. I said, 65-yarder this week? And he said, yeah, why not? Maybe 70. I said, you know, you get one of those late in the first half, you just let it fly. He goes, that's the plan. Record. So,
and if he misses it, he'll throw the cleat away because it was a bad luck cleat.
Cleaty.
He's looking to set a record this week.
But we don't think about personal stats.
Oh, yes, we do.
I don't know who he is anymore.
A quick total side note after we have this longstanding religion debate. Have you noticed the commercials for the new Wendy's burger that says the W with our own special sauce? They don't use the word proprietary, but it looks exactly like the sauce on the Big Mac that
secret
they call
sauce?
Special. They might call it secret. I mean,
secret sauce?
How do you just steal something from a competitor and get away with it?
Happens all the time.
Yeah. How?
Wouldn't it have to be made of the exact same
sauce? It looks like it.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it is.
And isn't Wendy's special sauce? I mean, McDonald's just like mayonnaise and ranch
dressing or ketchup and ranch. I'll tell you.
Well, it was like when we started doing Debate Friday.
Russian, maybe Russian.
Remember when we started doing Debate Friday and some of the other media members in this town took it over and usurped it for themselves?
Yeah, but
who was first with that?
But that's just media. This is actual, like, billion-dollar
Who did a mailbag online? But, oh, wait a minute. Everybody does.
I don't think that's right.
Years ago in another previous life, I was trying to sell ads for a sporting publication that I was running.
And he T-bowed before
and
every sales
meeting. I was in the offices of a high-up person at Burger King, and on her desk it said 1987 McDonald's marketing plan on her desk.
It's like when Parcells went from here to the Giants and took the Patriots playbook and scratched out Patriots and put Giants.
Patriots
that 3-4. Stuff goes on all the time. You know, it's everybody answers to everybody else. That's why, you know, you have these.
That's why you shut off Eric Mangini's access.
That's right. Now you know. Asher,
and knowing is half the
so
battle.
Anything else, Eric? Before we get back
pretty
to the
much
emails?
Shells, upper grass fields, outside.
I am concerned about Chung, though. That bothers
me. That's the big news.
Considering you put all the eggs in his basket for this defense getting good.
Right, well, spikes, but then Chung. Asher in Illinois, in an effort to understand what is going on with Tebow, I have been watching the last few minutes of the Bears versus the Broncos game. The difference when it was Tebow time seemed to be that the Bears O played badly or stupidly in Barber's case, but when the Bears D was on the field, they just sat back and let him take the underneath stuff, but then also on a few of them, the corners weren't covering the receivers. While the defense may be playing off, there were a few plays where down the field there were just no defenders near receivers. If this is really the case, then in theory, we are screwed because looking at the Redskins game, we didn't cover anyone. But despite this, I think we will blow them away because we will kill the Denver D, and Tebow will be his sucky self for the first 3.5 quarters, and then by the time he gets good, it'll be way too late.
That is sound reason.
See, I just don't see it. I don't see...
You don't see Tebow sucking and it being too late by the time he plays?
Oh, no, I guess I missed it. I thought he was talking about the guys being open, and that's been a problem for us, and... I just don't see him completing enough passes. Maybe
no, that's what he said. He said he'll be his usual sucky self for 3 quarters, and when he tries to turn it on, it'll be way too late.
Yeah. All right. My bad. I misunderstood.
Stephen Albany says, Fred, you're a moron. there is a gray area of religion. It's called being agnostic. I can understand and be empathetic, but I am skeptical of the stories in concrete words. I have my faiths that do not involve believing in a god or many gods or what have you. That's not what I'm saying. There is no gray area for people who believe.
Right.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
You either believe or you don't.
Right.
I agree with Anthony from yesterday, by the way, because I'm not a big believer, and I think there is a cool aspect to ultimate faith. I just don't have it in me.
I don't know. I think there can be gray area in faith, because not everyone's faith is absolute. You can have moments where your faith lapses, where you have doubts. I mean, there can be gray area.
Mine's certainly in that category.
Right?
Yeah. You know.
Like when you're dying, you're going to be, I'm sorry, I believe in you.
Well, but that's the old joke is, you know, 1,000 Hail Marys on your deathbed.
Right.
But
You can go through periods in your life where you are more spiritual or less spiritual, depending on what's going on.
I'm talking about these people that, like, their baby dies, and they're like, the Lord has a plan for it, and I ultimately believe in his path.
Well, that's one way people deal with these, like, kind of things, though.
I know, and that's very good. I don't have that in me. I'd be like, if there's a God, then F you.
Yeah,
why would you do that?
That I could. To me, it's when you have a faith, and then you have the scandal that rocked the church with the molestation. Mm-hmm. That to me is, how can you have the faith in these people? It just doesn't seem to be. This is,
well, but your faith is not in, those people.
No, but
your
I'm saying
is in something else.
You know, it's to me it was a big blow to Catholicism.
It sure
was in my mind.
Of course it was,
and I've never really felt the same since. These are the people, of all people, that you would think are immune to that.
Mm-hmm. I was taught that they're closest to God.
Right.
Right?
And that's how I believed it. That's how I felt it. And to find out that the cardinal was the ringleader,
right,
to me, that I don't know if I'll ever get over that, personally.
You stick with Star Wars. You can't go wrong.
Oh, God.
Brett from Orlando, I have two different scenarios on how this game will go. One, Green Ellis fumbles twice. O coordinator decides he needs to trick plays to beat the Denver defense, and Danny Woodhead throws an interception that bounces off Gronk's hands and is returned for a touchdown on the very last play of the game. And finally, Bill decides Tebow is more of a passing threat and inexplicably decides to run the same prevent defense on every play. Two, what I think will happen is that New England scores 35 points and Bill stacks the line of scrimmage and dares Tebow to throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns. New England will win this game by 14 points as only a six-point favorite. Tebow is a fraud and a bad quarterback, and I will enjoy Denver getting pasted this week. Also, two questions. I know if I was Brady, I would be getting frustrated that I must score on every possession or my team will have a chance to lose the game. Do you think he gets frustrated with the load he has to carry for this team to win? And last question, does Aaron Hernandez seem to drop a lot of passes?
Aaron Hernandez seems to think so.
Yeah. I think so.
Because I asked him today if he ever asked Gronk to save some of those touchdowns for him, and he said, I just have to catch mine. Which is one of the things I like about him, because he...
Not afraid to criticize himself.
Trouble is,
at some point,
it's all fun and games, but you're still dropping touchdowns.
Right.
Did you hear my little argument I got in? Not argument, but a little back and forth I got in with Matt Light today, Fred?
It was funny.
When I called him fat?
Yeah. Called him Santa Claus.
He said he was going to work out. Anything you guys want me to work out on? And somebody said something, I go, I don't know, abs.
And he goes, oh, see, now that's why I don't talk to you guys. It's holiday season. You're supposed to be nice. And Andy goes, so what are you going to be, Santa Claus?
You got the beard, you got the belly.
Let's see.
Why are you shaking your head? Don't shake
your head. That's why they hate us.
If he's not going to be serious, then why do I have to be serious? He doesn't answer one question seriously.
Arthur writes in, the Denver forecast is high of 46, sunny with winds at 8 miles per hour.
Yeah, there's no snow anywhere in the country right now.
That's great.
Isn't that weird?
I'm
usually
glad.
There are, like, major storms everywhere, or at least in the major parts of the country that
get snow.
We
can't have any snow coming in. You guys need to get back.
Right.
It's going to really kill the sledding season if we don't get some snow.
Joel from Merrimack, New Hampshire, been noodling over this whole Tebow thing, and I've come to the conclusion that Denver might just beat us. Now, hear my out my reasoning. I think if we win, we will need to score at least 30-plus points. Now, we've done this pretty consistently with the exception of Pittsburgh and the Giants. The reason they were exceptions is that they have good defenses. Denver has a pretty good defense, and let's face it, our defense can't stop anyone. I don't think we've held any offense to less than 300 yards this season. And then we've had times when our offense has sputtered. My fear is that they keep it close. Doomerville and Miller can make Brady's day pretty miserable, and we've seen over the course of this season that Brady under pressure is not the same guy. Now, having said all that, I think we will win. But if we don't go up on them fast, it will be a long day. And by the way, who will Solder be handling? Thanks, and keep up the great show. Jets suck.
Well, Andy talked to
Von Miller.
Andy talked to them,
probably,
to Bill about that today. They moved those guys around a little bit, so he'll probably have his chance to take on both. Doomerville and Miller.
I missed it live. I just, where they're playing this replay, Patriots-Redskins.
Yeah.
Ryan Kerrigan absolutely bent over Nate Solder on one play. Just grabbed him by the jersey and just forced it. It was, Chad Brown, there was no penalty. He just simply overpowered him. Pancake rush. Unbelievable.
Not like we saw.
Strength continues to be an issue for him.
Not like we saw in training camp with Solder where he would get bent back.
No. He got bent
right back
and kept going all the way onto his back on the ground. You know how they say
back.
It's a bad sign if the back of your jersey's dirty?
Yeah.
His must have been dirty.
Oh. And to the left.
Back.
And to the left.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, hey, Cheesies. Ever listen to the Shepherd Show?
Nope.
When Tyrone calls in and goes at it with Pete, it's sports radio at its best. They go toe-to-toe and unload haymakers at each other. That's what this show needs. You guys need a nemesis caller who can give you the business like no other.
We have it already, though.
And if you had any balls, maybe you could be the nemesis caller, but you just cheap shot emails from afar. So why don't you grow a pair, pick up the phone, and call in?
You know what I was thinking? You know what this show needs? A little bit more animosity.
So I'm going to send out a casting call. Hey, all of you wishy-washy regular callers, you're benched.
Named Matt in Brooklyn.
Somebody new, step up and make a freaking play. Tyrone's harsh truth steps all over Shepherd's rose-colored blinders, and it's radio gold. And Andy, could you please call me a fraud again? It gets my rocks off.
Well, you clearly are. You're telling other callers, other emailers, sack up and call in. I've never heard your voice. Only Eric knows your voice because you were stalking him in New York.
I never saw Brooklyn that.
Good for you.
He was looking for you.
Because you would have been molested and chopped up in little pieces and dumped somewhere.
Now, see, Matt, you got to call in now. You got to call in and give Andy the business.
He doesn't have the stones. No testicles.
Plus, he won't have Google at his ready.
Right.
All right. Well, we have a whole nother show to do tomorrow. So the Tebow talk will continue.
Are you all right?
The guy shot a puck from the upper deck.
John Rook is here. For the Patriots playbook. And John, I saw some emails that came in. I didn't read them, that they were mad because we started talking religion. They said the playbook started doing it yesterday, and I was mad. Now you guys have started to do it. What happened on the playbook yesterday?
Nothing. We just started talking a little philosophical stuff about it all, and because I think it's pertinent to the discussion this week. I mean, that's who Tim Tebow is. He's very public with it. He's very out front with it.
Fraudulent.
Whether or not, sometimes, maybe.
Hypocritical, breaking up marriages.
I think that's entirely...
Spreading rumors?
Who's the rumor is on the...
Tim Tebow.
Whose marriage?
Lindsey Vonn.
Oh, really?
That's a rumor.
That's a rumor.
But it's such a rumor that she does apparently a weekly ski column in a Denver paper, and she addressed it in there.
Yeah.
What
does
she say? So it's she denies
friends
it.
Of the
just
family.
Friends with the Tebow's family. I was in their box, you know, for a game, hanging out with Pete. You know, he was in her box, if you know what I'm saying, at a ski event.
See now.
Do you know what he's saying?
She Tebowed after a
race. If you don't
know
what he's saying, he's going to spell it out for you any second.
Right. Even if we know what he's saying. Right.
Fred, the only idea was to find out if anybody was offended. So if someone's offended, they should have answered.
Sure.
That's why I asked the question in case you're offended by that.
Yeah.
Most everybody that we talked to on the show yesterday didn't mind it to a point.
Right.
That, you know, his first, you know, post-game comment is, I'd like to thank my Lord
Most
and Savior Jesus Christ.
Most people did not mind it.
Most people did not mind it. What they did mind was the end game praying, like, you know, that a field goal would be missed. That's what they thought sort of overstepped the bounds. Like,
well,
you know,
that's been going on forever in football.
Of course it has been.
Right.
There's also post-game praying between members of both teams.
That's okay because the game's over. If you want to, you know, pray... The game's over, and you want to give thanks that nobody got hurt, that's fine. But while the game is going on.
Is that what he does?
Yeah. Yeah, they all
During
do that.
During the game? Like, well, they all.
Yes, he kneels.
The T-Bowing thing.
They all do it at the end of the games. And I'm like, okay, that's a little over the top.
Yeah, well, players have always done that.
They hold hands. They
exactly.
I guess the 1990 Giants were, you know, were all wet trying to. Yep. Wish that Scott Norwood field goal didn't go in.
Right.
I guess
they're all sitting on the sideline.
Anyone's offended by that.
They're all holding hands and they're all praying.
Right. I don't even like to hold another man.
But if somebody has, you know, a problem with it, then, you know,
you just like to look his junk up on the internet or bump butts with him.
Good, Eric.
That's different.
So there you go. That's all we talked about. It was good. We had a lot of emails yesterday. A lot of emails about it. A
lot of emails.
Well, it's one of those topics everybody hates, but everybody talks about. Everybody has an opinion. I hate it. Don't talk about that. But my opinion is.
Right.
Well, there you
go. They want to get their word in
and then
shut it down.
Right. That's what Naples says every time he calls this show.
Right.
I promise I wouldn't get sucked into this, but I have three things to say.
We're good at sucking.
I think Anthony Naples is a great caller, though.
We've mastered sucking.
That's what talk radio is all about.
Of course it is.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for John Rook and the playbook, and of course, Pete Shepherd at 4 o'clock.
More Bible Live now.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for